ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജനാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദയ്ക്ക് ജയം. നെത്തിലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദയ്ക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായകമത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതപങ്കജ കലിമലപ്രധ്വം സിനശ്രേയസേ മോഗം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർവേദൈ സംഗപദേ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹം ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ വി വിൽ ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ദി സത്വഗുണം ആൻഡ് രജോഗുണം ഓൺ സൺഡേ കൃഷ്ണ സേയിങ് തത്ര സത്വം നിർമ്മലത്വാൽ പ്രകാശകം അനാമയം സുഖസംഖ്യേന ബദ്ധനാദി ജ്ഞാനസംഖ്യേന ചാനക ആൻഡ് അബൌട്ട് രജോഗുണം ഹി സെഡ് രജോ രാഗാത്മകം വിദ്ധി തൃഷ്ണാ സംഘസമുത്ഭവം തൻ നിബദ്ധനാദി കൗന്ധയ കർമ്മസംഖ്യേന ദേഹിനാം ദ ടു വേഴ്സസ് സിക്സ് ആൻഡ് സെവൻ സോ പോയിന്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് മേക്കിംഗ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ദി ക്ലിയർ ഡിസ്റ്റിങ്ഷൻ ബിറ്റ്വീൻ സത്വഗുണം ആൻഡ് രജോഗുണം Satvagunam means that prakashakam anamayam, that there is no question of about exploiting the material nature. To be what Krishna has given us to live in this world, satisfied with that. We don't have to make a special endeavor to, Krishna has provided everything for the necessities of life to survive in the, live in this world. And to execute spiritual life. That knowledge is Sattvagunam. The Rajogunam is exploit the material nature maximum possible, in every possible way, thinking that everything has been given to us to enjoy life. This is the two difference in the outlook between satogunam and rajogunam. Satyam is such that the satogunam shows always satisfied, no desires, unnecessarily creating desires in the mind, that is a symptom of rajogunam. Rajogunam means desires, all the time want more, unlimited desires inside, never satisfied. That is a symptom of rajogunam. Satogunam means always satisfied with what Krishna has provided. And that is a basic quality in spiritual life. That's why Krishna is saying that in satogunam, natural tendency is to go towards knowledge. Whereas in rajogunam, natural tendency is to exploit the nature. So there itself, they have gone two different directions. And then Krishna says that the satogunam also binds people. Sugasankhena badhanadi jnana sankhena chanakha. He said that the nature of satogunam is such that it's like a crystal glass. It is, lights will come through it and it is harmless, but at the same time, due to attachment to becoming happy in life, and that sukha-asakti, it's called, that is what is called, sukha-sankhenam, means asakti for sukha. And jnana-sankhena, an attraction for knowledge. Knowledge means spiritual knowledge, not materialistic knowledge. Spiritual knowledge, self-realization, in that direction, start thinking like that. These are all symptoms of satogunam. And then Krishna spoke about Rajo Ragalpagam Vidhi Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam Nanibadnadi Kaundeya Karma Sangena Dehinam. So this Rajogunam is a important thing, because in several places Krishna has spoken about Rajogunam. Probably we don't understand how much Rajogunam is in us. We came to this world with Rajogunam. Rajodigaha karma paraha dukheja sukhamaninam, Bhagavatam says, isn't it? Manushya body, human body is made of Rajogunam. By nature itself is Rajogunam present in us to a very high degree. Rajodigaha karma paraha. And because of that Rajogunam in us, we have this tendency for engaging in karmam. Desires and fulfilling the desires. This is our nature itself is like that. And it is not easy to take it away from us. That is why we are so busy with karmam in this world. Even though karmam binds us, karmam causes so much problems, but still karma varaha, always attached to karmam. So when this question came up in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asked this question, Athagena prayuktvayam papam charati purusha, in the third chapter. He said, what is that making people to do so many unnecessary activities, sinful activities? Athagena prayuktvayam. What is that forcing them to do that? Papam charati purusha. Anichanabhi varshnaya balariva niyojida. Why is that impelled to sinful acts? Even unwillingly, as if engaged by force. Not that he wants to do it, but something is pushing him from inside to do so. That's what Arjuna asked the question. Athagena prayuktoyam papam charati purusha anichanabhi varshnaya belariva niyojida. That force that is coming from inside in a person to do sinful things in life, where is that coming from? Krishna's answer was very good. Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan vacha kama yesha krodha yesha rajoguna samilbhava. That mahashano mahabhatma vidyamenehi vairinam. He says, that kama yesha krodha yesha, these kamam krodham, they are brothers. One followed by the other. First kamam comes, kama means desires, and krodham. When desires are not fulfilled, then krodham comes. That's the relationship between kama and krodham. When kamam comes first, and when it is not fulfilled, desires are not fulfilled, krodham comes. Kama yesha, krodha yesha, both rajoguna samulbhava, this is coming from rajogunam, and maha ashana, maha padma, is ashanam, it is very hungry, maha ashana, it's very hungry for fulfilling the desires, maha padma, and which is born of contact with the material modes of passion and late transformed into wrath, and which is all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world. So that is what Krishna had to say about Rajovanam. So you saw in third chapter, Krishna says this about Rajogunam. And now Krishna is saying this, Rajo Ragalpagam Vidhi, Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam, Tan Nibadhna Di Kaundeya, Karma Sangena Dehinam. So, a clear distinction between Satugunam and Rajogunam. And while we are inside this Rajogunam, it is impossible to, it is practically very difficult to develop Satugunam. And also, because of this Rajogunam only, that in spite of all the upasana, and you may have desire for spiritual realization, self-realization and all, but practically nothing materializes because of this Rajogunam inside. So Krishna considers Rajogunam as the heaviest enemy, the most powerful enemy of the human body, this Rajogunam. And that is why in the Ekadasya Skandham Krishna said, Ahamit anyadha buddhi, pramatyasya yadahradi, Ulsarpadi Rajoghoram Tato Vaigariyam Mana. Famous verses in the Bhagavatam. Krishna is saying, Ahamit Anyatha Buddhi, that me and you, that thing has come. That this is yours, this is mine. If it is not working out properly, I fight with you. Ahamit Anyatha Buddhi, even though nothing belongs to either me or to you, it belongs to Krishna. But I take responsibility, this is my wealth, and that's yours. Ahamit Anyatha Buddhi, me, Aham and Anyatha Buddhi has come. Me and you, that separation has come, even though everything belongs to Krishna. Ahamit anyadha buddhi, pramatrasya yadahradi. Due to that you become intoxicated. Pramadam hams to him. Ulsarpadi rajo khoram. That powerful rajogunam from inside, tado vaigariyam mana. He creates all the emotions inside. Kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam. All these are the byproducts of rajogunam. So you can see how Rajogunam is a big factor, difficult to fight with in spiritual life. Tamogunam is hopeless state. There's nothing much you can do about it. But Rajogunam does more damage in the world than Tamogunam. Tamogunam, you will just lie there without any enthusiasm to do anything. But Rajogunam, it starts with Rajogunam and then ends up in Tamogunam. So Rajogunam and Tamogunam, Krishna is going to talk about that now, which we were discussing last Sunday also. So the Krishna said there that the Sattugunam's nature is that also advance in knowledge, realization and shanti inside, peacefulness inside. Sukasankhena sukhi ahamidi vishayabhudasya sukshayini alpmani samshayashabhadanam mrusha eva sukhayana sanjanamidi sa esha avidyaha. That because feeling happy, happiness means the shanti due to shanti inside, feeling happy because of that, Atma is attracted to that shanti. Atma is attracted to shanti, and in that way he feels happy and he gets bound by that in Sattugunam. And but that feeling that I am feeling comfortable, happy in life, it is also false and it is also coming from avidya. Because it's also part of the Satugunam. Then, nahi vishaya dharmo vishayino bhavati ichaji cha drityandam kshetrase eva vishayasya dharma iti uktam bhagavata. So, earlier Krishna has spoken that everything from desire onwards, all of that things, it's all belongs to kshetram, not to kshetrajna. That he has explained in the last chapter. Everything, this desiring, fulfilling the desires. All this is part of the kshetram, body, not part of the antaryami, inside. Then, so therefore, when this happiness comes and shanti comes, that also is a jnanam, avidya inside. And to due to that, sattugunam gives this impression inside us that our antaryami or our real self is experiencing happiness. You get that feeling from Sattugunam. That a kind of happiness inside and your Andaryami is feeling happiness from that. This feeling comes from Sattugunam. That means even though he is asukhi, there is no sukham, he gives the impression to him that he is sukhi, he is happy. In this way, jnana sakti, due to this desire for knowledge, dehi and is identifies with the deham, and all this is happening through satogunam. Then, so, because Krishna mentions here very clearly, sukha sankhena badhnadi jnana sankhena chanaka. In other words, jnanam, he has connected with sukham. Sukham and jnanam is connected together. Why did he? Because he has done that, therefore you have to understand that jnanam is the is referring to the subtle body and as well as the kshetram, gross body, kshetram and andhakaranam. It is sukham of that and not belong to atma. Atma never have any sangam or any dharmam either. That's important. Atma doesn't have any sangam or any dharmam. And just feels that you are happy, and due to that knowledge and anakha, and also he said that paparehidam, that means he doesn't have any sinful reactions from that. So these two verses, tatra sattvam nirmalatval prakashakam anamayam sukha sankhena badhnadi jnana sankhena chanakha rajo ragalpagam vidhi krishna sangha samulbhavam tannibadhnandi kaudeya karma sankhena dehinam. Krishna has spoken about that. And we saw last Sunday also that our mind, which is very much involved in all these things, that's where everything is happening. This mind has these three states, layam, kashayam, and as well as the vikshepam. Out of those three things, layam, vikshepam, kashayam, layam is tamogunam. Layam comes from tamogunam. As soon as you can see, sleep comes, you fall off completely, drop off, right? So, whereas vikshepam is coming from rajogunam. Vikshepam is what rajogunam does to us. And it is because of this rajogunam only. No matter how many times we hear Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, it's not going in. It is not having any effect on us, impact on us. Why is that? It's because of this rajogunam. Creates vikshepam inside all the time. We are not even conscious of that. The powerful vikshepam that comes inside. And due to that, the message is not getting in. So you can see how the three modes of nature is strongly working in everyone. And it is very difficult to break away from that. It's not so simple as we think about it, to come to satogunam. People always ask this question, what do I have to do for that? There's nothing you can do about it. That is the power of that rajogunam inside us. Yeah. So, vikshepam, and similarly, kashayam is also the state due to tamogunam. So, layam, vikshepam, kashayam, this is the three states, the mind. Layam and kashayam comes from tamogunam, and vikshepam comes from rajogunam. So this is what we are made of. And we are the people who are looking for realizing the truth with these things inside us. Yeah. So we have to first understand that our weaknesses, no point in thinking ahead for self-realization straight away. First of all, we have to recognize our own weaknesses, where we are at, and where self-realization is. And to become free from these handicaps, what we have. Prahlada's answer was that this has to start from the beginning. Not at the old age. Old age is not going to, by then tamogunam has set in so strongly inside, it's not going to work. So it is very, very difficult at the old age. But then what should we do at the old age? That question will come, is it not? If it is like that, the old age, if you understand all what Prahlad has spoken in that seventh canto, when he started talking to the his friends, the Asura boys, he was telling them that this has to start from the very beginning. It's too late otherwise. In the earlier days, if it has gone inside, it will have some impact. At a later date, it's very difficult. And later it's very, very difficult. It's very difficult to change. And therefore he mentioned so many things, is it not? Just a minute. Before that, he mentions there that in the Bhagavatam, when he said that, he spoke about a few things. That the very life itself Prahlada's friends asked him, right? And Prahlada started telling him that it is true that when the father says something, the children should suffer, the children must listen, right? But if a father tells the children that you shouldn't chant the holy name, then the children don't have to listen. And on the other hand, if from childhood itself, if the children are trained up to chant the holy name, to glorify Krishna, if that way it is done, then it will have its effect. And do you believe in what I am saying? He said. Prahlada's question to his friends, right? And you are all Asura boys. And if it is a case like that, I have some things to say to you. And this is how he begins the Upadesham, to Prahlada's Upadesham to the Asura boys. Kaumara acharet prajna dharmam bhagavadaniha durlabham manushan janmam tadapya dhromartadam, he said. So, it has to start from the early days in life. Because early days, the advantage is that you are more in sattugunam. As you grow up further, Rajogunam comes in more. And then gradually Rajogunam and Tamogunam comes, followed by Tamogunam. And finally Sattugunam gradually leaves us. And Rajogunam and Tamogunam takes over. Right. So, if it is done at the early days in life, only then it will have its effect on the old age. At the old age, right. And then he said that the what we have went through several lifetimes in previous bodies, like cat, the dog, the flies, and tigers, lions, everything, we have got those bodies, we died in those bodies, we woke up again from that body, came back to another body in this way. When, after several different bodies, changing different bodies, we have got this human body. And if you start thinking in the next life I will do all these things, that's also may not happen, because if the next life is an animal or a bird, what are we going to do about it? So chanting the holy name or kirtanam, all this may not happen, right? So therefore Prahlada said to them that the valuable human life should not be wasted, right? And everyone in this world wants happiness, and therefore they are working towards that. And one thing is that even if they work hard, do they all get happiness? Not necessarily. Some people get it, some people don't. Right? So, idea is that I don't want to feel distress. Therefore I work hard. But not necessarily that I don't get distress. I still get distress in life. Right? And nobody wants it, but still it comes. What should we understand from that? When this is the reality, what do we understand from that? And one thing we have to clearly understand, that it is not based on your work, what you put in here, or your karmam, that sukham dukham comes. Happiness and distress is not dependent on how much work you do in this world, right? So, karmam, what we have done in previous lifetime, its results are coming out now in the form of happiness or distress. That's all it is, right? So, if you have done pious activities in previous lives, satkarmam, then its results come in the form of happiness. And bad things, what we have done, it comes in the form of distress, right? In the result of that is that sukham, dukham comes one after the other, and you will have to accept all that. And then Prahlada said to the children, right, what we have to look forward to is that how to make the future better, how to improve the future, right? And I am chanting, you have heard me chanting Krishna's name and glorifying the stotram, kirtanam, about Krishna. And why don't we do it together? Prahlada said to them, right? And some people, they only think about making money in this world. That's the only goal of life. And because of that, he says there, if you look at that verses, Ko anvartha drishnam visajel pranaibhyobhya ipsina yambrina tyasabhi preshta taskarya sevako vanike. Work very hard and make a lot of money, acquire a lot of wealth, right? And so ones who have, it says here, Ko anvartha drishnam visajel. If you go in that direction, they even risk their life to make more money in this world. Yamprina tasabhi preshta taskarya sevako vanik. People even go to the extent of stealing and thieving and all kinds of dodgy dealings in this world to make money. And because of this desire, and some others, due to they risk their life due to this excessive attachment of feeling shelter in money. So he gave a description of about 10 verses in the 6th chapter. Yadahi purushasyeha Vishnu padova sarpanam Yadesha Sarabhudanam Priya Alpeshura Sukrata Sukham Aindriyagam Deityo Deha Yogena Dehinam Sarvatra Lebhide Yathal Dukham Ayatnada Tat Prayaso Nakartavyo Yadav Ayurveya Param Na Tatha Vindade Kshemam Mugunda Charanamujam. So, having said all that, Prahlada said to them that the lifespan is very short, and therefore, and we should take to the process of chanting the holy name. And then the boys asked him that you are saying that we should chant Krishna's holy name, but your father has told us that he is our enemy. We all belong to the Asura race. He is our enemy, right? And therefore, we are all Asuras, and he is our enemy, and you are saying that we should chant his holy name. So Prahlada told them that as far as Krishna is concerned, whether you are a Deva or a Manushya or a Asura or a Gandharva or what to say, Khagaha, Mrigaha, whether you are a bird or an animal or a tree, whatever it may be, Krishna doesn't look at all those things. And why? Because Krishna is present in everybody. Prahlada says that. Krishna is present in everyone, right? And because the Chaitanyam, Krishna is Chaitanyam, isn't it? The living force. Because Krishna is present in everyone, therefore we are able to see things. Everybody is able to see because Krishna is inside. Because Krishna is inside, he is able to hear. He is able to taste. He is able to smell. He is able to touch and feeling the touch. So Krishna is inside everybody, whether you are a human being or a demon or asura or a rakshasa or a deva or a bird or an animal, whoever it may be, there is Chaitanyam present in everybody. And that means Krishna is present in everyone. And if once Chaitanyam is present inside us, anybody, he cannot be your enemy. Because it's Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam is not never our enemy. And so, and therefore, because Chaitanyam is present in everyone, Krishna is friendly to everybody. Not only to, this is how Prahlada clarified this to the Asura boys. Asura boys asked this question, that Hiranyakashipu told us not to, to look at Vishnu, Krishna as our enemy, and never to encourage chanting the holy name or worshipping Krishna. This is the advice from Hiranyakashipu. Prahlada is saying to them that Krishna is present in everybody, even in Hiranyakashipu, and he is present in everyone. So where is the question of enmity when Krishna is present in everyone? So, and he also said that because he is never inimical to anybody, Krishna, and therefore it is not difficult to please him, in the sense that dhanam, yajnam, homam, and those things are not necessary to please him. Pridaya, amalaya, bhaktiya. If simply there is bhakti to chant the holy name, and through chanting the holy name in kirtanam, it is possible to please him. Why shouldn't we do it together? Prahlada said to the boys, right? And so then the boys asked the question, do we have to do it now? We are just young boys, aren't we? Right? And can we not do it later when we have grown up? And there Prahlada answered their question very nicely. He told them what will happen. Right? First of all, there is no guarantee we'll be living forever. That is not guaranteed, right? Can that happen? Because the teachers, Shanda and Amarka, who was teaching them, they said that. Generally they will say that our lifespan is about 100 years, is it not? 100 years, roughly 100 years, right? So there is still time. We are only 5, 6 years old. There is another 90, 95 years left, right? And so therefore, it said that if we start chanting together with you, will that not upset Hiranyakashipu? This was the question. So why don't we wait for some more time? So you can see the reaction from the Asura nature, how it's coming out, right? And they also put their own reasoning. They said to Prahlada that once Hiranyakashipu dies, you will become the king. And why don't we do it then all together? Why upset Hiranyakashipu now? Why don't we do it together when Hiranyakashipu goes away? And then you are the next son, you can become the king then. Right? Prahlada told them that this 100-year lifespan, right? There is no guarantee that you will live up to 100 years, isn't it? You could go any time, first of all. You could go any time, but generally people sometimes make it 60, 70, 80. But what happens at that time, that's what matters, right? So Prahlada gave a very logical explanation to about life. He said to them that 10 months we spend inside the womb of the mother. Then 10 or 12 years as a boy or a girl we spend in this world. And including all that is this 100 years. And obviously inside the womb there was no chance of performing any sadhana or upasana, right? And childhood also, it didn't happen because attraction for playing. So Acharya Swamiji says exactly taken what Prahlada is saying here. And he said that the he was traveling and he saw a group of boys and he asked them to come to chant the holy name, and the boys said we will do it later. They said, right now we want to play. This was the immediate response from the children. Acharya Swami said, Balasaval Kreda Satta. That was the response, right? Then, the young youth, youthful age. When youthful age comes, again Acharya Swamiji met a group of young boys and young men and women and invited them to come. Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, he told them. And their answer was, Tarunasaval Taruni Sattaha. That in that age of the youth, the mind of the man and the woman is attracted to each other to enjoy life, and therefore there is no interest there either at that time. And then finally he gave up all that and he said, let us look at the old people, because they are the ones who are free, retired, got their pensions and comfortably situated at home. But Acharya Swamiji says, theirs is the most pathetic case, he said. They are the most pathetic ones. Why? Because they are sitting like this with the hands supporting the chin and thinking like that, what all they have done throughout their life, analyzing inside. And apart from that, when you tell them something, they get angry to do something. Because they feel the empire they have built up in this world is so powerful that they get attracted to that empire, what they have built up. Vruddhastaval chinda sattaha, he said. So he gave up on them. He said, balastaval krida sattaha, tarunastaval taruni sattaha, vruddhastaval chinda sattaha, pare brahmani kobina sattaha. So therefore, spiritual life is not easy. It's not going to happen so easily. What I'm saying this is, that rajogunam inside us will keep us like this. And to expect that some wonder to happen in spiritual life, it's not going to happen. These are the impediments inside us, what is blocking everything. And it's not that simple to break away from that rajogunam that is working within, right? So, in the old age, the desires come to eat different types of food, what he has relished before in his early life. He wants to eat that, but the teeth have gone. And also, if he eats all sorts of things, it won't get digested. So many problems inside. So he gets angry. Right. So he wants to enjoy life like in the youth what he enjoyed, even at the old age. And our desires are there, but body is not able to do it, manage that. Body is not able to handle it. The desires are there, they are not left. But the capacity for the body to enjoy the senses is not there, right? And on the other hand, these desires, once it comes, if it's not fulfilled, it keeps increasing, right? And when it is not fulfilled, it turns into anger. What Krishna said in the third chapter. Kama yesha krodha yesham rajoguna samilbhava. It comes from that rajoguna. So we have to recognize this. All this is inside us. And with all this, we are into spiritual life. And to expect spiritual life wonders to happen, it's not going to happen. It's a long haul. And so apart from that, in the old age, if somebody wants to give you some help, and those who are looking after you, you get angry with them as well. And that is old age, right? So 10 to 12 years, balyam, gone like that. Then 10-20 years, vardhakyam, old age, gone like that. In between, you got this youthful age. The youthful age is in between. So balyam gone, balyam kaumaram gone, useless. Simply enjoyed in playing. Old age also useless, because there's nothing you can do. There was no spiritual activity in the early age, therefore old age has become useless. Then then he says there that in between this yavvanam, you get married, and then you tell them to invite them to chant the holy name or to take to spiritual path, salsangam and all that. They are saying, we have to go on the honeymoon. And we have got so many other things to do. When we finished all that, we'll come. They'll say. Right? So, katham priyaya manugam vidayam sangam rahasyam rujiram shamandran suhul sajas snehasidashishunam kalaksharanam anurakta chitaham. पुत्रान् स्मरंस्ता दुहितर्हृदय भ्रातरं ससर्वा पितरौषधीन गृहन् मनज्ञोरुपरिच्छदांश्च वृत्तींश्च कुल्य पशुभृत्यवर्गान् त्यजेत कोशस्कृतवेहमानम् कर्माणि लोभाद विदृप्तकामाः औभश्च जह्यम् बहुमन्यमाना कथम् विरज्येत दुरन्तमोहा कुटुम्बपोषाय वियन्निजायुर्न बुद्ध्यदेर्थम् विहतम् प्रमत्ताः सर्वत्र तावत्रय दुःखिताल्मा निर्विद्यते न स कुटुम्बरामा वित्तेषु नित्याभिनिविष्ट चेद विद्वांस्य दोषम् परवित्तहर्तुम् प्रत्येह जात अचितेन्द्रियस्थ अशान्तकामो हरते कुटुम्बी विद्वानभीतम् दुनिज कुटुम्बम् पुष्कांस पुष्णांस लोकाय न कल्पते वै यः स्वीयभारक विभिन्न भावम् तम प्रमध्येत यथा विमूढाः यतो न कश्चिल्कुज कुत्रचिद्वल् दीनस्वमाल्पानमलम् समर्थाः विमोचितम् कामदृशाम् विहार क्रीडा मृगोऽयम् निकटो विसर्गाः ततो विदूराल् परिहृत्य दैत्यो दैत्येषु सङ्गम् शयात्मकेषु उपेद नारायणमादिदेवम् समुक्त सङ्गे इषितोपवर्गाः सो अबौट् 88 वर्सेस् प्रह्लाद स्पोक् अबौट् our middle life, youthful life. This is what we all done. This is what about us, Prahlad is saying this. We must remember that. This is all about us, Prahlad is saying this, right? So, like a festival, youthful life is like that, like a festival it is, right? Partying, holidaying, weekends. And in this way, year after year, it goes like that. And then what happens, it began like that, then the children came, and when the children grow up, that happiness from that, and then the children control your life after that. They'll control your life, right? And monitoring their life becomes your life then. So, that's what he's saying there. In the 12th and 13th verses, you can see that Putran Smaram Sadhu Hidra Khadaya ब्रादरं ससर्वो पितरौ च दीन गृहन् मनज्ञोरुपदेश्यदांश भृत्यांश कुल्या पशुपृति वर्गान् सो दोस् वर्सेस् कृष्ण सेड् दट् इन् आर्डर् टु ब्रिङ्ग् दम् अप् द चिल्ड्रन् एण्ड् फस्ट् चैल्ड् कम्स् सो मच् ब्लिस् इन् अट् होम् सो मच् ब्लिस् वित् द फस्ट् चैल्ड् वेन् द सेकेण्ड् वन् कम्स् नाट् एस् मच् एस् द फस्ट् वन् लिटिल् लेस् बट् स्टिल् हेपी इन् दिस् वे three, four children, of course that's not happening now, but what is to be done after that, looking after them, maintaining them, that becomes the life, right? In this way, education, their education and their marriage and their settlement and things like that, and there's not enough money in life, inflation is very high, salaries are not going up. So, wife says to them, it is very difficult to manage with the money what we get. So, let us both work. I will also start going to work. So, if they have two income, then the life will become a little bit more easier in this. This is our youthful life. And these are the people who want self-realization. Where is it going to come? It will never happen. So, you have to remember that. Our situation is like this. What Prahlad is saying that. Yeah. So, then children, their health care, the medicines, all other kinds of things. And as much as possible, we'll use our credit cards, facilities, everything, mortgage, and car financing. This way, endless list of things. And it gradually things like that. It goes like that. Expenses going up, income is steady. And this is a situation. And all the time you're stressed out because of the finance. And wealth, mortgage, for whom? For the wife, children, and bringing them up, and things like that. And their desires are also start building up. The children also wants to have various things in life. And they need a car, they need computers, they need iPhones, they need so many other things. And in this way, desires builds up. And Prahlad is saying that, is this not your life? This is not life. So, inside the womb, no chance. Childhood, no chance. Youthful age, gone like that. Old age is what we are going through now, that thinking about the past, what happened in life, analyzing this. Prabhupada's question is that, if it is like that, kudumba boshaya vien vishan kudumba boshaya vien nijayur buddhyadertam vihadam pramataha sarvatra tavatraya dukhidalpa nirvidyade nas kudumba rama. Vairagyam nirvidya nirvedam does not happen because we are all lived in this kudumba ramas. We are not alpa ramas, remember that. We are kudumba ramas. Because we are kudumba ramas, kudumbarama means who takes pleasure in the kudumba. And with that, Prahlad says it is not possible to get attached to Krishna. It is not possible. So, so just like we spoke about this, that the he said to the children, life is very precious, right? And it shouldn't be wasted. And so all these things. And so obviously the children wanted to know, where did you get all this understanding from? Prasada said to them that my Gurunahan, my Guru Maharaj, Narada Maharshi has told me these things. So the other Asuric boys didn't know when this has happened. So Prasada says to them that when I was in the womb of the mother, Narada Maharshi was talking to her all these things. She did not understand. It didn't work for her. I was listening to it from inside the womb and I didn't lose it. That stayed with me, he said. So sattvagunam, rajogunam. This rajogunam's power is beyond our belief. How powerful they are. So as Krishna said there, that in this chapter, that the layam, vikshepam, kashayam, the three states. And the problem with this is that Kashayam says that it's a kind of a jadhyam. Jadhyam means jadatvam. Jadatvam means fully matter conscious. That is the problem with this Kashaya siddhi. Kashayam is like that. A kind of a mood off, we say. Mood off means what? No spiritual thoughts develops inside. Purely as a dead wood, the mind becomes like a dead wood. And that kind of state, that is Kashaya Sthiti. Right? And yogis say that when it goes to lay Kashayam, you have to do something to trigger it inside to destroy that Kashaya Sthiti. You have to do something to wake him up from that Kashayam stage. Layam means gone to sleep. There's nothing you can do about it. Layam means mind is, chittavritti comes so much and finally the mind is not able to deal with it. It falls into layam. That's what happens to mind. Mind, lot of chittavrittis comes and chittavritti gets so strong that it immediately falls into that state of layam, falls into sleep. Vikshiptam means the thought waves, chittavritti, rajogunam. So vikshiptam is vikshemam. Or vikshiptam is rajogunam. Layam and kashayam is tamogunam. So where is sattvagunam there? Where is sattvagunam there? And Krishna is saying, sattvar sanjayate jnanam. Spiritual knowledge is only possible in sattvagunam, not in other places. Rajogunam and tamogunam, problem is that tamogunam you won't understand anything. And rajogunam, if you have understood anything, it will be all in the wrong way. Everything will be understood in the wrong way. So you can see, practically you can write off rajogunam and tamogunam, nothing will happen spiritually in that way. So, having said that, right? So, when tamogunam starts coming out from inside, that's when this kashaya siddhi, you experience that. And all you can do at... Now, these three states is not in our control. It's not in our control. It keeps coming one after the other. And what will come, when it will come, when it will go, also is not in our control. That is to what extent Prakriti is controlling us. Prakriti is controlling us, right? So therefore, what Krishna is saying here is that whenever some sattvagunam comes in, you have to know how to sense it. When the sattvagunam comes, use that time to make some spiritual progress. That is the time for go for salsangam or for chanting the holy name, kirtanam and everything. That's the only thing you can do. In Rajogunam and Tamogunam, nothing will happen. It's all waste of time. Nothing is going to have any impact on us, right? So, Sattugunam comes inside us, because none of them will stay permanently. Kashaya Siddhi will be there for some time, and then after some time, Chittavritti will come, and then after that, sometime Sattugunam will come, right? So, we ourselves have to know when Sattugunam is coming, when Rajogunam is coming, when Tamogunam is coming. A good knowledge of these three modes of nature is very necessary in spiritual life. That when what affects us, when it affects us. And Krishna's point is that when that Sattugunam comes, take advantage of that. To chant the holy name for meditation or for kirtanam, satsangam, swadhyayam, everything. Because that time is precious, he said. Kashaya Siddhi Vikshiptam, they will also come. many people have a misunderstanding about all these things, right? They are thinking that they will organize, say for example, meditation classes. They have booked, say, 10 o'clock, village hall. Anybody can come for meditation, pay your price, and then somebody will teach you meditation. Meditation doesn't work like that. It's all misunderstanding, total misunderstanding, right? So, people like to stay in that meditation mood all the time. Therefore, what they do is, when this Kashaya Siddhi or Vishama Siddhi come, Vikshipta Siddhi comes, Vikshiptam or Kashaya, when it comes, they are looking for ways to solve it, how to get rid of that. Kashaya Siddhi and Vikshipta Siddhi, there is no way. And Krishna is going to say that in the next verse. That when Kashaya Siddhi comes, and that Vikshipta Siddhi comes, people are thinking that they can get rid of that. Because that's how our mind is. Mind is telling us that you have to get rid of those. And you are trying to do that. And there is no way for that. Therefore Krishna is saying here, when Prakriti, you are inside this Prakriti, as long as it is inside that, you will start thinking. And when you start thinking, thought waves will come. And at the end, when a lot of thought waves will come, you won't be able to handle it, you'll fall asleep. And when you fall asleep, then the mood will go away. All these things are present inside this Prakriti. And we are inside this Prakriti. We must never forget that. We are inside this Prakriti, right? Just like they say, then you're watching the TV. You can't choose what you want. While you're watching the TV, advertisements will keep coming. You're watching some very important program on Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, and in the middle of that, all kinds of nonsense and kill advertisements comes, and you have no choice. You have to watch it along with that. It's right. Similarly, as long as you have this mind, and mind has got all these three modes of nature, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, and if there, as long as you have a mind, all three of them will come in us. And sometimes you may be able to control your anger, but by nature some people are like that, they won't get angry very easily. And but the ultimately Krishna's point is, if you want to destroy this mind where these three modes of nature are present, that's only possible through self-realization, right? And only Antaryami or Atma, or the Self, is capable of going beyond the mind. Up to that time, we are all under the control of the mind. Only Antaryami is capable of transcending the mind. Right? If the Atma is there, the mind is not there. If you are conscious of the Atma, in other words, self-realization, knowledge of the Self, absorbed in the Self, somehow or the other, if Atma is in the front, then mind won't act. So, if that knowledge of the Self, if it is not there, then whatever you may do, it is like offering a tonic to the Asura in the same way. So, because these three modes of nature is present in the mind. So, again, Krishna, that is what he is saying there. Atatra sattvam nirmalatval, he said. Yeah, nirmalatvam. Krishna says nirmalatvam is the sattvagunam. That's not there for Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Prakashakam. Just like if you point a torch how you can see things clearly. And similarly, when sattvagunam when comes inside, you will know it how it is. Desire for knowing the soul, antaryami inside, alpavijaram and alpajnanam, and you will be able to do that in sattvagunam. And how to increase the sattvagunam? Upanishads have mentioned about that, but that is not everything in the sense that it is one statement. Chandokyam says, Ahara shuddho sattva shuddhi, sattva shuddho dhruva smriti, smridhar labhe sarva grandhina vipramokshaha. Prabhupada has quoted that in the third chapter, I think. So, Chandokya Upanishad says this, Ahara Shuddha Sattva Shuddhi. Basic requirement, Ahara Shuddhi, of course, yes. And so, if Ahara me Shuddhi, the intake, the food intake is Shuddhi, then, because the reason for that is from food, the mind comes. Mind comes from the food. Then it's a basic Siddhantam. The basic Siddhantam is the food comes from the mind. That's why it's called Annajam, Annam. Turns into mind, right? So when we eat the food, the gross part of that food goes out as the stool. The most gross part of the food goes out as the stool. The middle part of that turns into flesh. That turns into flesh. The most subtle part of the food turns into the mind. There is no research experience. Researchers cannot tell you all these things. This is Rishi's observations. Rishis are telling us how the food turns inside. Only through spiritual knowledge these things will be known. There is no other way of knowing this. Upanishads and Shastram is the only source from where you will get this understanding. The gross part of the food goes as the stool, the excretia from the body. And then the middle part of that turns into the body's flesh. And the most subtle part of that turns into the mind, becomes the mind, right? Just like even in vegetarian food, some of them will damage us as much as a non-vegetarian food. Some of the parts of the vegetarian diet also. That's also not included in the sattvagunam, right? And it's not that something has got life, something has no life. That's not the criteria. That's not the criteria. If you say like that, like for example, the stone, the wood, they also have life, but it's not that they don't have life. They also have life, but their consciousness is in such a deeper level that it is not able to manifest in them, right? So, for a human society, sattva aharam is important. And the best thing is if one can make it oneself. There is no better way than that. If one can do it oneself, it's the best method, right? And this topic has come in the 18th chapter also, when we discussed about the food. If one can make one's own food, that's the best thing, right? So when he talks about tapas, Krishna mentions in the 18th chapter. So here it said that Aharam, food, is one criteria, but generally it is said it's not only aharam that creates sattvagunam, all the other things as well, other four senses. Aharam is through the mouth. So that's the tongue only, but what you hear, what you see, what you smell, what you touch, all the other things also has, whatever goes inside through any of the other senses, they also decide your degree of sattvagunam. Inside us, right? How will that happen? Through eka tattva bodham. In other words, it is not possible to live in this world with the eyes closed. Eyes will have to open and see so many things, right? Similarly with the ear also. Sometimes you may not be able to hear everything very favorable for spiritual life, right? Therefore, what Acharya Swamiji says there that in the satsangam, you take the opportunity to realize that nothing exists in this world separately from Krishna. This realization, and keep this knowledge strong inside. Everything is Krishna. In this world, everything is Krishna. And whatever you hear, whatever you smell, whatever you see, and whatever you do with your senses of action, both with Jnanendriyam and with Karmendriyam, whatever you are doing is all Krishna. In that realization, if you cultivate that in Salsangam, gradually you will come to that point, he said. That is what they call it as Egatattva Jnanam, that one Tattvam only exists here. And with that realization, continue with the Vyavaharam in this world, right? So if you do Vyavaharam like that, everything that comes through senses inside will get purified, that's all. So what normally happens is, the sense objects come through the senses, goes inside, and disturbs the mind. Andaryami is inside, right? Andaryami is inside. And then why does the mind get disturbed when it comes through the senses? This is the question, right? In a house, if the owner is not there, then thieves will enter. And that is the reason why, because the Andaryami realization is not there. Andaryami is the owner actually. But because he is not taken the possession of the property called this body and the senses, therefore senses start going out towards looking for gratification and start thinking something else exists outside separately from the Andaryami, and due to that the mind going through the senses to the world outside, the outside world comes in inside us, right? So, and when they come inside, it disturbs inside and the mind gets affected by that. That Brahmam, that the sense objects outside is going to give me happiness. This is a kind of Brahmam it is. Feeling happiness that something I'm going to get from there. If I go there or if I do certain things, if I get possess certain things, that thought inside, that's going to make me happy. And therefore I go after them. And that Brahmam is the responsible for the distress that comes from that. So, that they are, Harinama Girtanam talks about that in a big way, about the impact of the world outside, what's going to happen to us inside, right? So, Chaitanyam is present everywhere, and Chaitanyam is its actual Swarupam, and what we see outside in the form of matter, Jadam, is only an illusion or a Brahmam. And for example, we will say outwardly, when we talk about the world, this person is a good person, the other person is very wicked, right? So, all this goodness, wickedness and all is all inside the Prakriti, you see. It's all inside the Prakriti, right? And you can also see that in the Prakriti. Today someone is very, very bad person, tomorrow he can become good. And today somebody is a good person, tomorrow he can become bad. This is how Prakriti is. So, when we stamp on someone that he is a good person, he is a bad person and all, we have to bear this in mind that that's all happening inside the Prakriti. These three modes of nature is changing everyone, every time, in different ways, right? And just like in the drama, one person will act as Rama in one situation. And the same person in another place, when they are performing the same drama, Ramayanam, he will act as Ravana there. So he can act as Rama in one place and he can act as Ravana in another place, right? So, and just like when he is dressed up like Rama, he is with the bow and arrow and with his matted hair, he is like a Rishi, he is walking through the forest with Sita Devi. When he is a Ravana, he is dressed up like a devotee of Shiva with all the vibhuti on all his body and in a completely different mood, right? So, in the same way, this external nature, to judge anyone based on this external nature, and to think that they are different than the vastu inside. Antaryami in everyone it's the same, but the dress is always changing. Again, swarupam is same, swabhavam will differ. That is a way to understand things, right? So practically what they are doing is trying to practice this habit of seeing the antaryami inside. In other words, seeing every object through practice it this way, that it is Krishna. Chaitanyam it is, right? And that is what the idea is, to develop that awareness of Chaitanyam in everything. And everything that comes through the senses inside us, all of them, when you start scrutinizing it through Brahmavidya or Jnanam, when you get cleared in that, gradually, it is a slow process. It's going to take time. In the nature, everything is very slow. You can see that also. In the nature, things don't happen very quickly, does it? It happens in a very slow pace. So, if you observe, in the Ayurveda, you know how they do the dieting? Not like the way we do dieting in the modern system. Ayurveda dieting system is different. What they will tell you is that if you are having excessive weight, they say to you that if you are taking 15 handfuls of food, at least for this 1 year, make it only 14. Only 14 handfuls, you take it. And in the next year, you take 13 handfuls. And the year after, you take 12 handfuls. In this way, gradually reduce it. They will say like that, right? And over a period of 10 years, you bring it down to a very smaller level, right? By then, the body will get used to it, right? And it will gradually get adjusted. What is our method? Straight to the gym and heavy exercising, and if it's not working, and then run for a lot of time, for half an hour or an hour or so, and all kinds of, because we want to get it done quickly as possible. That's not nature's method. Nature, everything is slow, gradually everything is done, right? And similarly, Rishi's process also is like that. Anything what Rishis tells us to do is always slow process. And everything happens so slowly that, and if you start rushing, then everything has to happen very quickly, it is not going to happen, right? Sometimes people ask, can we do something in spiritual life within a week's time, because I got a week holiday off. Can we do something about that, right? But the answer is to that, Ramachandra, Vasishtha says to Ramachandra this thing, right? He says, if you are ready for it, it doesn't require so much time. Even 1 week is too long, he said. But the fact is, you are not ready for it. So, he says, Rama, if you are matured enough, then like camphor, when you touch the fire, how it catches fire. In the same way, it doesn't require months or years or days even. But that Vaisharadi buddhi inside, and it will happen straight away. You will, if the Vaisharadi buddhi is perfect inside, if it is matured enough inside, right? You don't require many days or hours even, they say. One disciple asked the spiritual master that how much time does it require for self-realization? He answered 1 minute. But then he said that out of that, even that 59 seconds is a waste of time. It's not required, he said. Even 1 second is not enough. Just like the glass on your tip of the nose, how it's present there. Only question of recognizing it, that it is there. To that extent only, it can happen in that way. Right? So similarly, self-realization, we must remember why Krishna is saying these things, is that self-realization is already there inside us. Nothing has to come from outside, right? Only thing is, our attention has not fallen on the soul. Our attention is still in the body, right? So, Guru said, Tattvamasi, immediately pratyabhijna happened. Pratyabhijna means that realization has happened. And the moment it happened, that immediately self-realization happens, right? So, Has anyone realized it like this? This is the only way it has happened. It has not happened in any other way. Japam, Dhyanam, Yogam, Sankirtanam, all these things are for what? It is only to make us mature for that. Mature for that. It is only for that purpose, all the other things. You see, in spiritual life, there are few things, if you keep thinking about it, you will get it, understand what spiritual life is all about. We have a lot of misunderstanding about spiritual life. We think we have to study a lot of shastram, we have to do a lot of sadhana, we have to do a lot of austerities. There's a lot of things like that in our head. It has gone up. Now, in our lifetime, major part of the life is over now. What is left is a few years, if it is there still. That's what we have got. And in these few years, what is left? If you keep talking about what is the same rules and regulations, what you learned at the beginning, that's not going to work anymore. That means you haven't made much understanding of spiritual life as in come. A stage comes in life when one has to look back and start realizing that time for austerities and penances are all over now. Time for sadhana in a big scale is also not possible because body won't allow you to do that. Even if you want to do it, japam, swadhyayam, things like that, it's also not possible. But if you have thought about it, you will know what is actually expected from us at this stage in life. Basically, in spiritual life, few things, three things only mainly. One thing is freedom from desires. If one can control desires, not to desire too much, want this, want that, want this, want that. In this, so many plans making. If that desiring business stops, that's the first step at the old age. To become free from the desires, as much as possible, able to accept with what is Krishna has provided us and satisfied with that. That's one. Secondly, Krishna is saying, as he said in the Bhagavad Gita also in the beginning, whatever distress that comes in life, able to accept it without complaining anymore. Tam tidikshasva bharata, he said, isn't it? That tidiksha, that whatever distress comes in life, these are the things one should be focused at the old age. Because they are the ones which is deciding your destiny now. Not your sadhana. Sadhana time is over. That's all in the early days in life. At the old age it may or may not happen because we haven't practiced that spiritual life. What should have been done at the Kaumara Ajaret Prajna didn't happen. We have gone through a lifestyle which was based on sense gratification, family life and various other projects, whatever we had. And then we are expecting that spiritually we will go very high in this life. That will be very difficult. But Krishna is saying there that the at the old age, Dukkeshu Anidvignamana Sugheshu Vigadaspriha, that dukham, when it comes, accept it without any udvegam. So many distress will come at the old age, one after the other. So Krishna's point is that freedom from desires and not to, and able to tolerate as much as possible. Lot of distress will come, just tolerate it. That is Krishna's point. Two things. Finally, the most important thing, sadhana, upasana and swadhyayam, tapasya, all that time is over now. All that time is over now. There is no point in studying a lot of shastram and trying to think that the shastram is going to and become a scholar and to tell everybody I've studied this, I've studied that. That's all a waste of time at the end. In self-realization, that doesn't matter. And if you look at great personalities, you will see that they all didn't go through this shastram business all the time. What made them those great personalities, their realization? What was that realization? They all came to the conclusion finally that ultimately what happens to us? Today we are living in family environment or friends, society, relations, all these kind of whole society, we are entangled with that. One day, what happens? Shariram, body will drop. Kalatram, wife will be gone. She will have to leave her. Sudam, children, you have to leave them. Shariram, sudam, kalatram. Shariram, kalatram, sukham. And all the wealth, you will have to leave all that. And finally, you have to go on your own, leaving this world. You are on your own. There is nobody with you. You cannot organize your trip. you cannot manage anything, and you have to be completely prepared for that journey at the last minute when you leave this world. Yeah, at that time, Acharya Swamiji says there, that departure, it's a famous verse that is very well suited for old people to reflect upon. What he is saying there is that Shariram, Kalatram, Sukham, all these things will leave you, and when they are leaving us at that time, Krishna is saying there that the only option, Shariram, Kalatram, Sukham, Sudam, Banduvargham, Sudam, children, Banduvargham, they are all gone, right? You are leaving all of those things in 1 second. In one moment, you are leaving all of them. Samastam Paritejya, everything you are forced to give up, whether you like it or not. That's the journey. Like today, if you have to go somewhere, you make so many preparations for that, isn't it? Packing things, clothes, and the diet, and then the medicine, and all kinds of things you are organizing. What will you do for that trip? Samastam Paritejya, you have to leave everything there. Ha kashtam, eho gamishyami dukhena duram kilaham. That I'm going on my own. There is nobody with you. You are on your own. And who is with you then? Krishna is with you. Knowing this reality, what is going to hit us any moment, take Krishna shelter at this moment. And completely depending on Krishna's mercy, kripa. And that is ashrayam, what Bhagavadam says. Ashrayam or kripa or mercy, whichever way you call that, that totally taking, because at that moment, when you have to leave this body, Shariram, Kalatram, Sudam, Banduvargam, they are all gone. In 1 second, you have to do all these things. Unfortunately, it's not hitting us at the moment. We are still thinking, they are all with me, everything will be alright. And when death comes, we will see at that time. No. Krishna is saying that once you have reached that stage, that you prepare yourself for that last journey, how to leave this world. And that is most important. That nobody will be with you, and come to reality with that. That wife won't be there, children won't be there, money won't be there, and you don't even know where you are going. Imagine that situation when you leave this world. And at that time, who is with you then? He says, Antaryami inside, he is with you. The jiva has got only that with him, the Antaryami. So, completely taking his shelter at this moment, before that comes, and developing that relationship with Antaryami, is the only thing what one can do at the old age. Three things. Freedom from desires. Able to tolerate all the miseries of this world. Whatever nature, prarabdham throws at us at the old age. Accept that. And finally, above all, taking Krishna shelter completely and be prepared for that last journey. That's what he's saying there. So, having said all these things, now even to discuss this sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam now, thinking about and trying to understand sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, it's too late. Because all these things, knowledge should have been gone inside at the early days in life. We have gone through our life completely in rajogunam and tamogunam. 8 to 10, 12 hours a day working life. What else has it done to us? Injected so much rajogunam, tamogunam in us. And then to expect that suddenly everything will happen like this, it won't happen. It's not possible. It's not possible. So Krishna is saying that, and we also on a mature level to think that at the old age only that is so much you can do about it now. Whatever time is left, few years, because the body is demanding so much attention, so much problems with the body. Some people, mind also gives them a lot of trouble. When this is a situation, and rajogunam, tamogunam is deep inside, and when that is like that, what can be done? Yeah. So, sattvagunam, so these three things, we are only explaining the theory behind it now, where it is not going to change very much within us. Avaranam, which is vikshiptam, kashayam, vikshepam, all these things, when they are not there in us, that is the time, it is, that's the only time when sattvagunam is present, the only time favorable for spiritual life, favorable for spiritual life. And so, So that is what Krishna says in that verse. Tatra sattvam nirmalatvam prakashakam anamayam sukha sankhena baddhanadi jnana sankhena chanakha. The way it is, just to make it understand easier, that he said there, prakashakam anamayam. Like you saw the rope and you saw it as a snake, right? And you brought a stick to kill the snake. And you thinking that there is a snake there, right? But you also brought the torch with you to beat the snake. When you have put the torch on the snake, you realize that there is no snake, there is only a rope. And even if you struggle very hard to find the snake, you won't find the snake there because there is no snake. You can only see the rope. And even if you switch off the light, still you won't be able to see the snake because you have realized that there is only rope there. Right? That was the power of that light. Suddenly created this change inside you. And that's what's called prakashakam anamayam. Anamayam. In the same way, the spiritual knowledge is such that it illuminates the presence of the soul inside, Antaryami inside. Means avaranam, vikshepam, kashayam, those things don't come anymore to you. And and that will happen sometime, and that's when satugunam is coming. And when that satugunam comes, nirmalatval, sukha sankhena baddhanadhi, he said. So, satugunam, symptom of that is, you more or less fall into a thoughtful mode. Thoughtful mood means not in the chittavritti level, in the dhyanam stage. So, when you will see, when you look in the mirror itself, there is a illumination on the face, right? Sukhasankhena baddhanadi. Some people perform dhyanam for getting sukham, but jnana sankhena chanaka. This jnana sankhena chanaka means that there is a desire to know many things inside, right? People go and study all kinds of Mimamsa, Tarkam, Vedantam. So many things they will study. And this jityasa, to know things, is also a bondage. It's also a bondage. In other words, knowledge is also a bondage. Knowledge is also a bondage, right? And one teacher, he asked a group of children that he was a scholar, and he asked the children that how many of you have read Bhagavad Gita? The children said that we don't know much about Bhagavad Gita, but we know so many other things we have learned. They have learned about things, what's happening in LA or what happens in Europe, America and places like that, right? Doesn't know anything about Bhagavad Gita. So his answer was that you have so much knowledge what you have collected because you have so much desire to know many things what's happening in the outside world. But all of that is useless knowledge because and that kind of desire to know things which is happening in the world outside, that kind of jityasa, it's a it's a intellectual addiction, he said. Intellectual addiction, right? You'll see people like that. Any book they see, they'll buy. They'll find something interesting and they'll buy the book, right? And they will read all those books. And then they will get confused in their life, right? And then they will have a lot of questions about life. You can see this in the YouTube and all that. Some people, they have read so many books and they will quote this person, that person, everything. But what is the use of all these things? Sukhasanghena chanaka. Sukhasangam, jnana sangam, he says, that jityasa is also a disease. and one has to become free from that as well. Yeah. So it is due to this jijnyasa that we get into bondage. We get into bondage, right? So, like we see something in the world outside, we want to know what it is. And that inquisitiveness, right? And we think that knowing about that object outside is a very important thing. It's a big thing in life, right? So, instead of knowing what spiritual knowledge is, and to become that swarupam itself is knowledge, our swarupam, if you give close attention to that, you can see that the thirst for knowledge is also a disturbance. Thirst for knowledge is also a disturbance, right? Wants to know so many things in this world, right? Knowing is not a wrong thing, but if you get attached to that business, then it is a wrong thing, right? You can see this, what happened between Bharadwaja Maha. You see, the rishis are not stupid people. They have such a deep understanding about life. We are thinking there are some old people who sat in the forest, wrote something, books, and gave it to us. And they didn't know. Look at us, we are so developed with all our knowledge and technology. And we have a different impression about them. But if you look at some of the discussions they had among themselves, you will notice that they are on a different level altogether. Bharadwaja Maharshi met Indra, and there's a conversation between Indra and Bharadwaja Maharshi. Right? Bharadwaja says to him, he wanted to learn a lot from Bharadwaja Maharshi. Right? And he studied a lot, and ultimately, whatever Indra has learned from different sources, he all spoke about that to Bharadwaja. About that, right? It was like a huge mountain of knowledge. A huge mountain of knowledge. What Indra has learned from different people, right? And then Bharadwaj said, there is a lot more to learn, he said. It's like an ocean, he said. Like a mountain you have learned now, and like an ocean you still have to learn, he said. So, this is a story in the Vedam between Bharadwaj and Indra, right? So, in Maya, there will be a lot of things to know. This Prakriti, if you start studying, it's unlimited. So much to know from there, right? And then you will write about that. Look at our modern science, what it's doing to us, right? And it will going on like a bull passing the urine. One hour continuously it's going on, right? And today it will say something, tomorrow something else, day after tomorrow something else. In this way, whole lifetime wasting with this research and knowledge building up in this way, right? Even if it is, they say, life becomes completely wasted. All your time is gone with that. And even in Vedantam, you like to hear more, know more about it. But instead of going that direction, after got the message clearly from the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, the next thing to do is to mananam, nididhyasanam, what is possible. And people have studied even Brahma Sutram, everything, but many people who have good training from the beginning, they have, ultimately what did they do after studying everything? They left all the books and they left home. And went to places like Himalayas or Kashi or somewhere like that, right? So, this is, because they also realize that this is endless, this studying Shastram is also endless, right? If you keep on studying everything ultimately, you will become so absorbed in that study business that it will start burning inside. So, that is why in the Viveka Chudamani you will see a verse, Shabdajalam Maharanyam Chitta Brahmana Karanam. That if you keep on studying, it will only create more chitavrti inside, and your brahman will come from that, right? So this jityasa, when we talk about jityasa, it's only for the sake of to realize the knowledge of the self. That's all. After that, you have to leave the rest of it, right? Bodhyasya samshrayatvam vijanata. This one bodham, consciousness inside, the root of that is consciousness come from the Andaryami, Chaitanyam. And one bodham, only one consciousness, And the root is this Antaryami insight. And knowing anything else in this world, Jadavastu, is completely avidya. It is ajnanam. And knowing this, Krishna is saying, you should become free from jnana sangham. Jnana sanghena cha anaka, he says. Jnana sangham, you should come out of that. That means, even in Sattvagunam has got these two problems, what he mentioned. Sukha sanghena badhnadi, jnana sanghena chanaga. Krishna is saying, how to become free from those two things. First of all, to be in Sattvagunam. And in Sattvagunam creates the bondage through these two ways. Sukha sanghena badhnadi, jnana sanghena chanaga. Krishna is saying, you should become free from jnana sangham also, knowing very well that the knowledge what is required for self-realization, you have got it, and after that applying the knowledge and realizing the truth is more important than keeping on studying all the Vedantam year after year after year. Keep on studying. That's not going to help. That's what he's saying here. Jnana sanghena chanaga. So, jnana sangham is also a bondage of sattvagunam. It's a bondage of sattvagunam, right? Now, having said that, he is saying that this one point, he made it very clear there, that the jnanam iti sukha sahajarya kshetrasya eva andakaranasya dharmam na altmanaha atma dharmatve sanghanubhate bandhanubhate upavate cha sukha iva jnanav sangha mandavyo hi anakha avyasanam. Jnanam is a part of this kshetram. You see, it's a part of the kshetram and the andakaranam, subtle body, right? Not from the Atma. Atma's dharmam, Atma does not have sangam anywhere. Just like you felt sukham, in the same way, like Krishna mentioned, sukha sangham, in the same way, Krishna says jnana sangham also. You get attached to jnanam, and then you start running all around, looking for knowledge, and going to different people, hearing from different people, and reading so many books, and trying to cultivate jnanam, jnanam, jnanam all the time. That is jnana sangham. So, sukha sanghena badhnadi, jnana sanghena chanaka. Krishna has analyzed those two things in that verse, coming from sattvagunam. Having said that, he is saying in the next verse, that the rajo ragalmagam vidhi, trishna sangha samulbhavam, tan nibadhnadi kaundeya, karma sanghena dehinam. This is difficult one, more difficult. When you understand that verse here, he is saying, Rajo ragalmagam ranjanad rago gairigad ragalmagam vidhi janihi trishna sangha samulbhavam trishna aprapta abhilasha asangaha prapte vishaya manasa priti lakshanaha samshleshaha trishna sangayo samulbhavam trishna sangha samulbhavam. Rajogunam is ragam, attachment, ragam, ragalmagatvam, right? So, what does that mean? It means that desire, lot of desires inside. I want this, I want that, I want everything, I want all that. And the what you have got in life, getting attached to that, that sangam is that what he is saying here. Trishna asanga samulbhavam. That asangam is talking about that. That vastu, what you have already got it, and that love for that is asangam, right? From desire and to attachment to things, from desire and from attachment to things, what comes out from that is trishna sangha samudbhavam, what he mentions there. Rajo ragalpagam vidhi trishna sangha samulbhavam tad nibadhnadi tad raja kaundaya karma sangena. What it does is, it creates within us a feeling of things what we have not seen, or things what you have already seen, and all kinds of karma what you are not experienced yet, and sense objects, you get some attraction for that. Attraction for such karma, all the time, attraction for karma. And whether you have seen them or not seen them, still attracted to karma. In that way, that's called karma sangam. That's called karma sangam. You see that word? Karma sangena dehinam. Karmam has bound us like that. Rajo ragalmagam vidhi, trishna sanga samulbhavam, tan nibadhnadi kaundeya, karma sangena dehinam. Through karma sangam, it happens, right? So, let's understand what that means here. Yeah? A little bit more. Things what we haven't got, desire for that. Yeah? And whatever we got in things in our life, what we have got with us, attachment to that very strong, that's rajogunam. In people you will see this. People have got certain things. Some people it's car, some people it's home, some people it's clothes, some people it's something else. Whatever it may be, but attachment to that so strongly, that's coming from rajogunam. Krishna is saying that, yeah? So, initially he spoke about sattvagunam, right? In sattvagunam, Krishna said, you will have a sugasankhena bedhinadi, he mentions there, sugasankhena bedhinadi, jnana sankhena chanaka. They are the only problems in sattvagunam. But in rajogunam, the problem is karma sankhena. Karma Sangam comes in, which is not there in the Sattvagunam. So, for example, when you wake up in the morning, the early hours when you wake up, if you had a reasonably good sleep, when you wake up, that time you are in Sattvagunam. Better than other times, I'm saying. Better than other times, during the middle of the day or in the afternoon, compared to that, when you wake up the morning, early hours in the morning when you wake up, if you had a reasonable sleep, generally there is more sattvagunam at that time. That's why the reason why they say you should do all your sadhana at that time, right? So when we wake up in the morning, it is sattvagunam, right? Because by then we don't have much contact with the world yet. We have not started dealing with the world yet. Vyavaharam has not started, isn't it? You've woken up and you are slowly coming into action. So, and the main reason why you have sattvagunam at that time, because you are waking up from sushupti state. That's the reason behind it. Because you are coming up from sushupti, you have that sattvagunam, little sattvagunam more compared to other times of the day. Right? And that is the reason in all traditions, they say that the morning hours is for spiritual life. At least when you get up. People say, no, first morning you have to get ready to go to work. Evening hours for spiritual life. That's how people are just thinking that. But evening hours is full of, you brought all the rajogunam, tamogunam from office or from the factory, wherever you're working, and all what is inside. And therefore, when you start chanting, you fall asleep straight away. So, you can see the effect of sattvagunam and rajogunam controlling us in that way. So, in Sushupti, you had a little close connection with the Andaryami. And therefore, that is the same reason you feel a little fresh when you wake up in the morning. You feel a little bit fresh in the morning, right? So, and the reason why you have some sattvagunam in the morning is because of Sushupti. Because of the Sushupti. And in the same way, if you look into the atmosphere, in the Prakriti also, you will see there is more sattvagunam in the morning time, right? So, sattvagunam has this capacity to create dhyanam and similarly bhakti and all that pure transcendental qualities. It has got the capacity to create that within us, right? After some time, as time passes on, rajogunam comes in, right? And then you have become active. You have to work. Then that strong push from inside for karmam comes very strongly. And then you want to achieve something in this world. Success, is it not? So this is motivation comes. And then what happens? When that happens, you want to attain. Some success has to be there. Results has to come from that. And that's what Krishna is saying there. You see that word? Rajo ragalpagam vidhi. Rajas does that. So sattvagunam does not create that. Rajogunam creates this desire for achievement, success in life, right? and all our habits will come out at that time. Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam, right? And you have done your deity worship in the morning, you have done your meditation, and then you are ready by 10 o'clock, the stock market opens, you are ready with the computer to check the share prices, Rajo Ragatmaga Vidhi, how Rajogunam starts coming in, right? And along with that, so many things. You want to have some plan now, what all I have to get in my life to make my life happy, right? And what all I have to conquer in this world, all these big plans all happens, right? And this will keep on going like that. And whatever you are achieved in life, attachment to that, for the success what you had in life. That's what he's saying, Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam, right? From that also there will be a lot of problems will come, due to attachment to what you have achieved in life, right? Then he says, Tan Nibadhradi Kaunteya, that is binding us, how? Karma Sangena Dehinam, he says. Without these two things, is it possible to live, right? The desires has to be fulfilled, right? Attachment is there, and also desires have to be fulfilled, and also I have to maintain what I have got in my life, right? So how can you sit like this quietly then? And once this thought comes in that, then you have to do something about it, and then karma will never finish, right? And that power will keep on working within us, right? So Rajogunam, you can see, you all know this, what I'm going to say this, right? Have you noticed people with Rajogunam, how they interact each other? In your office, or in your workplace, or any places wherever you were busy with work, one thing I have noticed is that they will encourage each other. How will they encourage each other? That the importance of work, and they will keep on telling each other about importance of getting certain things done. And they keep on stressing this in the office, in the factory, everywhere. So many things has to be done and done and done. It has to be done. And in this way, constantly they will encourage each other. They will encourage each other. That means both are in Rajogunam and both of them are supporting each other to increase the karma. Both of them get bound more and more, and both of them are strongly pushed by Rajogunam from inside. What I'm saying is, we are thinking that what do I do? And we want spiritual life. These things are not favorable for spiritual life. If you are stuck in karmam, Rajogunam, and karmam is the main thing for life, then take your time, as many lifetime as possible, till you come to these conclusions. Rishis never said that it is wrong. What rishis are saying, you are not ready for spiritual life. That's all. That's all what they are saying. What they are saying to us is that if you have such strong faith in karma, and if you still believe very strongly that karma is keeping you going in this world, you have not come to that level yet to take the spiritual path. That's a simple principle, right? So, and you can see this, understand also this in a better way, right? They will even talk to each other that he works very hard, he gives results, he produces results, and you give him award for that, for producing results, and things like that. Appreciating each other for your success in the karma. This is the karmic world. Karmic world is like that. You've done very well, they say. And we got so many awards for your success. You met the target. The target has achieved. So you're a very successful person in your career. And this way they will boost your ego to such a level that your faith in karmam becomes so deep rooted. This is the after effect of that. It is not helpful for self-realization. These are all enemies of self. Rajo Ragatmagam Vidhi. Krishna is saying that. Krishna Sangha Samulbhavam. Yeah, Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam. Tan Nibadhradi Kaundaya Karma Sangena Dehinam. In one verse, what we have done through in our life, through work and career and this and that, Krishna summarized whole thing in one, four lines here. Rajur Agalpagam Vidhi, Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam, Tan Nibadhradi Kaundaya Karma Sangena Dehinam. This is the life of majority of the people in this world.
work, 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 and karmam, and success, and achievement, targets, and appreciation, award. This way, life, spend whole life gone like that. And then we want spiritual life. Is that possible? It's not possible. Krishna is saying, you see, rishis are not stupid. They know our way of thinking. They can't accept this. We are not ready for it. With all this rajogunam inside, to expect to perform miracles in spiritual life is not possible. Why did they go to the forest? Because of this reason. That this rajogunam tamogunam is so strong in the society and in the world that to become to somewhat free from that, they went to the forest. They found a better place. Because if you go to the forest, the advantage is you are more in line with the nature. And if you look at the nature, how it works, nature does not work on these principles of rajogunam. Nature works on the principle of sattogunam. You can observe that also. That's what Krishna is going to say now. He's saying here that that the you look at the nature, for example. Nature means all the other living entities. Forget the human species. Birds, animals, trees, plants, all, they are all living entities in this world. Birds, they wake up in the morning, they go for the looking for food somewhere. And their concern is to get some food and procreation. That's only two things they want, for the birds are concerned, right? Only these two things, food and procreation. For that, they need to have a partner, and they are satisfied with that. You don't see them making any other gorgeous arrangements in life to enjoy life, do they? Birds don't do it, animals don't do it. They are more in tune with the nature, they are more acceptance of the nature, prakriti. They are able to accept prakriti. Krishna has provided that and they are satisfied with that. They don't do what we do. The human society is the most disgusting in this aspect. Never satisfied. Unnecessary desires, endlessly, thinking all in the name of advancement and civilization, we have created hell for ourselves. And then, so, prakriti only forces them to do these two things. Hunting for the food and for procreation, that's it. It's over, right? After that, whatever time they have got, they will sit on the tree, or they will make some noise and fully satisfied. They are not doing anything else after these two things. Acquiring food and procreation. Those two things only, right? Why are we not able to do that? Not satisfied with that, right? So, for us, anything what you see in the nature, immediately our thoughts go, how can I exploit that to use to for my advantage? Whether it is oil underneath the ocean or oil underneath the thing, we are such stupid that we will go all the way out to get that oil out from there, the coal from the ground. And so many things in life, wherever we can. Like for example, Krishna created all the beautiful rivers, he gave it to us, right? And what did we do? We decided that, oh, we have to build dams everywhere. So thereby we thought that building dams will solve all the problems. Therefore, we can do more, growing more food for that, for agriculture. And then we realize our head started working more. And then we want to create electricity from that, hydroelectric projects and things like that, right? So, in this way, when we started building these dams, practically we were disturbing the flow of the rivers as well. Like, as I mentioned the other day, that the Ganga River in Haridwar is different than the Ganga in Kashi. By the time from Haridwar to Kashi it comes, all the waste from the factories is pushed into Ganga. And all kinds of rubbish is thrown into Ganga. And by the time it gets to Kashi, its nature changes. Ganga River, when it originates from Gangotri, it's so pure and so beautiful. Even in Haridwar, it's not spoiled, but by the time it gets to Kashi, it's completely, you can't even touch the water. To that extent, it's polluted with all the drainage. All the drainage from all the factories, all the housing complexes, everything just pushed into the river, right? Similarly, you can observe now, if you go to India, you will see this, that beautiful countryside, plenty of rice fields, wheat were grown, and it was such a pleasure to look at them at one time. Hundreds of acres of rice fields. At a particular time when you saw when the rice is growing, farmers were walking through the fields back and forth, they were working in the field. All that's gone now. It's not there anymore. It's all tractors have come in, and harvests have started in a different way. And many people think that producing food, what for? It's available in the supermarket plenty. Rather, what we need is now shopping malls and super speciality hospitals and five-star hotels for people to stay, car parking, motorways, airports, and aeroplanes. All this, how we changed our relationship with the nature. Birds don't do it, animals don't do it, we do it. We do it, yeah? So, this is all. And then, as though suddenly a population explosion happened, so we need more apartments, more flats, multi-storied flats, 24, 30, 40, 40 flats, and maintaining them. And whole lifestyle changed, everything, right? All this thing is nothing but rajogunam. It is all the effect of rajogunam. You see, animals and birds don't have this problem. We have this problem. Because this rajodigaha karma paraha, rajogunam and karmam is a part of human society. Not animal society or birds. Rajodigaha karma paraha, right? And then the another thing of this rajogunam, just like I mentioned before about karmam, this rajogunam has got another nature it creates in us. What is that? That when we do something nonsense like this, if the society accepts it, then it gets acceptable. Only thing is society has to accept it, right? And then it has become important. That's what all these developers do. You know, they keep on building houses everywhere, destroying all the land everywhere, and they say we need more, because population has increased, we need more accommodation, and keep on building, and they will make it so attractive, the offer, and in that way gives you an impression that, oh, this is such a nice development, here, there, everywhere. So, what rajogunam does is, taking help of this materialistic knowledge, which is called malina sattvam. Sattvagunam, when it is polluted, it becomes malina sattvam. Taking shelter of this malina sattvam, or impure sattvagunam, he will justify everything what he is doing. That is why Krishna said there, in sattvagunam you have to differentiate between the two. Shuddha sattvam and malina sattvam. Shuddha sattvam is the one that helps you for self-realization. Malina sattvam does all these kind of things. Justifies everything, right? And through malina sattvam, he will justify everything what he is doing in this world. Even though it is rajogunam in him working it, rajogunam is working inside, but you will use malina sattvam. That is the nature of these rajogunis. They will use malina sattvam to justify everything what they are doing because of their rajogunam inside, right? Because those people who are doing this, they cannot sit quiet anywhere. That's their problem. They can't sit idly. They have to do something. They say we should be making money all the time. If I'm not making money in life, there is something wrong with me. This is how their conclusion is. You should be always making money. Time is money, they say. Isn't it? So if you're not making money, you're not doing anything in this world. And this is not spiritual life. It's not possible to have spiritual life with all this, right? So working like this, we have made this world the way it is today, right? And then what happens? When that rajogunam builds up so strongly, it turns into tamogunam and then fight. And when we fight, destroy everything what you have created through rajogunam. Through tamogunam you destroy it. And when all the destruction happens, then what happens? We start, rajogunam comes back again. New projects will start. Now we have to rebuild Ukraine. We have to rebuild Gaza. Now we have to rebuild Iran also after the next disaster. Then we have to rebuild Cuba after destroying it. So this is rajogunam. Without knowledge, these leaders are all useless. Practically no knowledge. Busy with this rajogunam and tamogunam and preaching to each other that I am doing the right thing, you got it wrong. And what's the help you use? That is why these three modes of nature, if you study it well and if you observe the world, there's a lot to learn from that. Yeah. So, and the best example is the animals and the birds. They do much better than us in these things, right? We are thinking we are very intelligent people, right? But they don't think like that. The animals and birds, they don't think like that, right? So, there's a beautiful reel on this. It's very nice to watch that. One man is dressed up in suit and all, and he's smoking a cigarette, and the smoke is coming out from the cigarette. A dog is standing next to him, and he's looking at this man. The dog is seeing the smoke coming out. So dog is thinking there is fire inside, because dog only knows that. And the dog is looking at this man very seriously, and he is smoking and enjoying his cigarette, whatever he was smoking, right? And the dog is thinking, what is wrong with these people? Dog is thinking about us, right? Yeah. Why is what is happening, the fire inside him, right? You don't know what the dog is thinking strictly about us, right? Because we are thinking we are dressed up nicely, the suit and all, and smoking the cigarette, right? So, so this is, as far as dog is concerned, if the smoke comes out from somewhere, there is fire. And dog gets frightened about when he sees the fire, right? So this is our situation. This is how a dog is seeing us. And we think about the dog, or we are looking after the dog. But you know what the dog is thinking about us? This is what the dog is thinking about us. That I am smoking and the fire is coming out, and dog is thinking, what's wrong with this man? So, even the animals don't do this. And we do that, right? So, it is all coming from this rajogunam, right? So, what is the... and so those people who have invented all these things, they know very well that ordinary people are very stupid, right? So they keep on building up all these kind of things. In this way, all this is nothing but actions from coming from rajogunam, right? First thing, to fulfill the desires, and then working for that to meet the desires, karmam from that. So the thing is that anything in this world, suppose you buy a cow, you have to feed the cow, isn't it? Similarly, anything you buy in this world, karmam will come from that. Karmam is a very, as Krishna mentioned, karmana gahana karmano gadi. Karmam is a very subtle thing, right? And if this karmam side of it is not, part of karmam is not correct, then whatever knowledge you may have, you won't be able to stay peacefully in one place. Swastha. Able to stay in the self will not be possible, right? And we all know that the things what has been created, or the karmam, field of karmam, where what has been developed around us, right? That force what is inside us, it will keep us going round and round and round in that karmam, right? And even if you think that I want to be peaceful and stay quietly somewhere, it won't be possible, because all the karmam what you have executed before, its results will come and it will make contact with the nature, and it will force you from inside, compulsion from inside, and you will get again trapped into that karmam again. Yeah. So you can see, if you analyze the life itself, you see, before mobile phone came, what used to happen was that everybody says, oh, it's such a great help, this mobile phone. But if you look at it carefully, you see what is happening, right? They say because of it, everything has become very easy now. And and making our life a lot easier because of the mobile phone, right? And what happened is we got more busy with the mobile phone. It's not karmam became more implicated, more complicated with the mobile phone. Otherwise, certain karmam will take its own time to finish. Now it's not like that. Mobile phone, apps, appointments, and running from one place to another. It has become more now than before. With the end result of this is that, and more messaging, more texting, and more Googling, and more ChatGPT, and more AI, everything increased. So look at the way how Maya works. You invented the mobile phone to make your life easier. What happened? You became more busy with it. Rather than be able to come out of karmam, you got more entangled with karmam. That's how the Maya works in this world. That's what Krishna is saying here. That the Prakriti, she will not allow you to make your own plans in this world. You try to do something, she will put something else in front of you, get you attracted to that, and you will get entangled with that in this way. So, and you will keep on running whole life with this mobile phone. So, keep on working like that. So, and work will come from Prakriti. Prakriti will create the work for you, right? And that impact will come. And from that impact, the output will come. And this is a circle which keeps on going. Therefore, one should be careful about this Rajogunam, Krishna is saying there. Only one should do that karmam, what is essential for, to be done as swadharmam. What is to be dharmam, that should be done, nothing more than that. And that dharmam also, you have to do it in a such a way that it should not inject this karmic nature within us. Right? And that is what Krishna is saying, that karma sangam. When he is talking about karma sangam, he refers to that. Karma sangam will increase the rajogunam in a person, and rajogunam will force a person to do karmam again, and karmam will create rajogunam again. So, this rajogunam is nothing but it's a disturbance that happens in our mind. In our mind. It's a kind of an urge to move. To move. I have to do something. And without any purpose, you will keep on doing things in this world, right? If you ask a person, why are you doing that? No answer. He does know himself, why is he doing that? But he's doing it, right? And you can look at that in all kinds of, these tournaments like cricket, football, everywhere, right? Initially it started as a game. Can you imagine the industry that has developed around it now, around cricket as well as the football, right? When Rajogunam came inside, it has become a matter of pride, who should win, who should lose. That's all coming from Rajogunam. And it becomes more like a war, a battle it becomes, right? So anything, when Rajogunam comes into the mind, it will pollute the mind. And the result was that Atmanubhavam, knowledge of the self, self-realization cannot come in. So Sattvagunam will help only in Sattvagunam. Atmavijaram, self-realization, Antaryami, and these things will become important. Otherwise not. When Rajogunam is present, it's not possible. And in Sattvagunam, you will get some strength to inquire about the self, to understand Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam. And temporarily, you may get some glimpse of self-realization. Glimpse of the Antaryami, you may get it when Sattvagunam is present. In Rajogunam, it will be total vikshevam, chittavritti karma, that's all. And in Tamogunam, Krishna is going to talk about it now. And Tamogunam, it will create vikshevam in such a way, you won't be able to even see the rope. In Rajogunam, what happened was, you saw the snake in the rope. In Tamogunam, you won't even see the rope even. Right? Tamogunam is like that. Yeah? And if you have not seen the rope, it's not too bad. Right? But if you see the snake in the rope, it is worse. And that's Rajogunam. And that is why those four lines. Rajo Ragalmagam Vidhi Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam Tan Nibadhnadi Kaundeya Karma Sangena Dehinam. So So you can see the harm Rajogunam does to us, right? And you will, in the middle of all this, you will say, I'm doing some sadhana in the name of some meditation, some bhakti, some japam, dhyanam, all these things you will do in the middle of all these things, right? And, but Rajogunam won't allow you to make any progress because of that, right? And rishis are talking to us one after the other. We'll continue after the break.
Chedo darpanam arjanam bomaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakairava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandambudivardhanam pradipada purnamrda swadhanam sarvatma samanambaram vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam nam namagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrapida nimida smaranena kalam etadrishi tavadrupa bhagavan mamabhi Rudeva Vira Samihajani Nanuragaha Tanara Vishuni Chena Tarora Visahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtani Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadishakamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Ishwari Pavadal Bhaktirahai Dugitvai Ai Nandatanu Jakingaram Padidamam Shami Bhavam Budau Kribaya tava padavanga jastita duli sadasham vichindaya Nayanam galada shudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira Pulagir nichidam gadavabu tavannamagrahane bhavishyadi Yuga idam nimeshena chachusha pravisha idam Shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda virahename Ashleshava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam armahadam karotuva Yatha Tadava Vidata Dulambado Malpranatha Sunayevana Pada Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangirtanam Govinda Govinda.
Krishna has spoken about Sattugunam and Rajogunam in this chapter. This chapter is very important because of this. More, without knowing all these things, simply thinking that I am doing sadhana, everything will come in its own way, Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that, that's not going to work. That's all, initially you can say that, but when you start reading Bhagavad Gita and start thinking about it, you start realizing that how deep the subject matter is and how grave it is, the situation is safe. Yeah? So having spoken about Sattugunam and Rajogunam, Krishna is going to talk about Tamogunam now. Samastha jnanajam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam pramad alasya nidrabi tannibhadradhi bharata. He says tamogunam comes from avidya, ajnanam. It's a direct product of ajnanam, right? And it puts people into such a strong bodily concept of life. And the result is that no serious interest in anything related to spiritual life, ashraddha, and laziness, and also sleep. Three things. Old age, lot of tamogunam in us, right? That's why we are all helpless, basically. You fall asleep very quickly. It doesn't take very much effort to put us into sleep. Old people, old age is like that, because all through life, we have built up this tamogunam inside us, infected us so strongly, that the old age you find, the satugunam is not coming out very much. Mostly it is tamogunam, rajogunam also withdraws, because body and mind is not capable of doing anything. So gradually, Sattugunam, Rajogunam withdraw from us, Tamogunam keep coming strongly inside us, in the old age. That's the difficulty. Yeah. So he says, Tamatrutiyogunam Ajnanajam, Ajnanajyadam, Ajnanajam Vidhi Mohanam, Mohakaram, Avivekakaram, Sarvadrohi Dehinam, Sarvesham Dehavadam, Pramadam Alasyam Nidrabi, Pramadam Cha Alasyam Cha Nidraja, Tamo Nibadhnadi Bharata. So, it creates, first thing this Tamogunam does is creates misunderstanding. Creates misunderstanding about things. You may not understand that. What is this misunderstanding? Misunderstanding is this, that attachment to the body increases. That itself is misunderstanding. We are not the body. We have learned that we are not the body, but on the other hand, we are getting more attached to the body. That's the old age. It's not. So, ajnanajam, aham ajnanajam tamam, he says, tamastha ajnanajam vidhi. That shows that the avidya is increased inside. When you are getting more and more attached to the body, it means that the avidya is increasing inside. That's the degree of avidya is going up, right? And due to that, the delusion also about life. Still I can save myself from death somehow. And then I start developing false faith in the medicines, in the doctors and all the other processes. All these things come from this tamoguna inside. And then laziness, can't do anything because body is not capable, and sleep. Gunanam vyabhara samkshepada uchare. And that is about tamogunam. So then the question comes, this three gunam, that is necessary for us at the same time. Even though it is glorified about satugunam so much, rajogunam and tamogunam is also essential, right? In prakriti it is like, within prakriti, right? Like you see this vatam, pittam, kapham. In the Ayurvedam they clarify. And that is these three modes only. Satugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam is vatam, pittam, kapham. Vatam, pittam, kapham, right? So if they are in a balanced state in us, then we are in a reasonably healthy state. If they are in a balanced state, right? And if it is an unbalanced state, that's when we get sick, according to Ayurveda. When the pittam, kapham or vatam, when it changes that balanced state, then we get sick. Ayurveda's conclusion is like that, right? And all three will be there, but samam, vishamam, two state. In samam state, you are healthy. In vishamam state, you are rogi. You are a sick person. In the same way, satugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam also, right? If it is in a balanced state, because it's a part of the prakriti, when you lose the balance of these three modes, right, first the symptom of that is vikshepam comes inside. Building up vikshepam inside. So, Krishna says here, tamastu ajnanajam vidhi, first line, yeah? Tamastu ajnanajam vidhi. Ajnanajam means, jam means to germinate, to create, right? Jananam, all these come from the root word jam in Sanskrit, comes germinate, jam, ajnanajam. That's how the English word came from the Sanskrit, jam. Yeah. So, it is come from ajnanam. Ajnanajam tamam, ajnanajam vidhi. It has come from avidya, which means that it has got such a capacity to cover the soul. Never able to make contact with the antaryami. So much such a coverage outside in our swarupam, right? Actually, our swarupam, what is it? It has no birth, no death. What Krishna spoke in the second chapter. Yeah. It has no birth, no death. Na jayate na mriyate. And this tamogunam, what it does is, we feel, I've got to die. I got to take birth. This becomes stronger and stronger inside us, right? So that state is completely taken out from us, and it takes away from us that we are pure consciousness, unbroken, and always existing. All these noble qualities of the soul, what was spoken in the second chapter, has no connection with us when there is tamogunam in us. You won't feel any of that. It simply remains in the theory only. Nothing in realization. Yeah. So that is that avaranam. Cover that puts on. That ajnanajam tamam. What he says here. Tamasto ajnanajam vidhi. He says. Yeah. So that is tamogunam. And then he said mohanam sarvadehinam. That by covering it, what happens is, it creates a happiness inside. By covering the soul. That's called the brandhi, brandhi, right? Brahmam. And it will completely cover your intelligence. Not able to even think properly. What's the right thing? Not able to think properly, right? So, in other words, covering this major thing called self-realization and the knowledge of the soul and experience of the Antaryami, what it does is, it gives you an impression that happiness is all these in little things in this world. That's samogunam. You will start finding happiness in all the little things in this world. And we are not even conscious of that. Then that samogunam is doing that. The major happiness, the source of all happiness is Antaryami. Rishis are saying this to us again and again. And that is our actual identity. And whole spiritual life is centered around this Antaryami, to get back our spiritual nature. Instead of that, we start feeling importance in all the other things in this world, which probably may give you a little temporary happiness here and there, and you make that as a priority in life. That comes from tamogunam. That's what he's saying here. Tamastu ajnanajam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam. That moham, that illusion in finding happiness in the world outside, it comes from that, right? So, you've forgotten your actual identity, Swarupam, and start thinking that getting something in this world, achieving something in this world, or procuring something in this world, or becoming successful in this world is very important, and feeling happiness from that. Those things, he's saying here that, that is called Brahmam, and he says here, what else it does? Pramadam, alasyam, nidra. Three things, right? Pramadam means ajnanam, avidya it is, right? And which means that even if somebody tells you all these things, it's not having any effect on you. Shravanam is there, but that proper Shravana Shakti is not there. Even if you're reading all these things, you may read those voices and you will accept, say that yes, yes, it makes sense, but nothing is happening inside. That's tamogunam. Tamogunam won't allow you to do that, right? So, that's called pramadam, right? You can see in satsangam also, you will sit there in satsangam, scratching here and scratching there. And it will appear as though your eyes are blocked, ears are blocked. It's not happening. Nothing is having any effect. Hearing it, but no effect at all. So, so pramadam, another word sometimes used is death. Pramadam is kind of death, right? Buddha says like that about pramadam, slip, right? Slip means from the center you are moving away. Center is antaryami, self-realization, antaryami. From that, your whole attention has gone to something else from there, right? And a moment that has happened, alasyam comes. You become lazy because your center is in something else, right? And then you'll be more than happy to lie down in the bed. And if somebody tells you, take more rest, you'll be very happy with him. If he tells you, alasyam, right? Then things like laziness to do anything. This is all comes to the old age also. This is all the, you slow down, you can't do anything, feel helpless, and then I'll let it go like that. Ignore everything, whatever's happening around you. Start ignoring things, right? And then if you feel fed up, go to sleep. Mind is not listening, anything, right? Talking about spiritual life, chanting the holy name or anything, the mind is not agreeable. Mind says, it keeps you busy with something else, right? And similarly, if you start, trying to do some spiritual activity, the sleep will come and you'll start yawning, right? You heard about Mahavishnu's yawning. It's a famous story in the Puranams, right? And that is nature of this tamogunam, right? But tamogunam is required. Why? Because we have to sleep. It is tamogunam that creates. That's why in Sushupti, it is all tamogunam. These three modes of nature is a very complex subject. And that is why rishis deliberately did not define it too much. Because our nature, we want to make a chart out of it. And want to put it in boxes. And then verify that's how our nature. Because our education is like that. But rishis' method is different. Rishis won't talk about it too much. They will tell you that satyogunam, rajogunam, tamogunam is there in the prakriti, and they will give you some indication of that, and you are able to, you are supposed to realize yourself and understand it properly, right? So body needs a sleep, and body will, when it gets tired, it will automatically go to sleep, right? And the same tamogunam, if it goes into intelligence, the same tamogunam, what gives us sleep, when it goes to intelligence, it covers our knowledge of the self. Knowledge of the self, right? And it creates ahangaram inside. This is all coming from tamogunam. That ahangaram, ego inside, right? Tamasi shakti, right? Because tamasam, it comes late, therefore it's called tamasi shakti, right? So, tamasi lakshanam, he says here, pramad alasa nidravi tan nibadnadi bharata avivekaram sarvadehinam. And then he is saying there that so tanibadhnadi bharata, he said. So basically that's all to say about tamogunam. So satogunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, all the three things Krishna has spoken, and then he said that these things will keep coming one after the other in a daily life. If you have thought about it, you will notice it. If you have not thought about it, you will notice it. You will see in your own daily life these modes changing every time. As I said, when you wake up in the morning, you are more at peace inside, shanti inside. And you have some enthusiasm to hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam or chant the holy name. That thoughts, why does it come in the morning? Because there is some sattugunam popping up. That's why. But as soon as about 8, 9, 10 o'clock, gone. Then the rajogunam comes inside us, right? And then rajogunam dictates everything. And by evening, you have no interest in spiritual life. You are not interested in material life also. Simply wants to, looking for some partying or some socializing or some kind of sense gratification more, going in that direction. So sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, they comes like that, right? So, unable to take notice of it and to remain as a witness of all these things, of these three modes coming and going, right? And that is why you will see this in the prayers, that the in Jnanamargam they give importance to all these things. A lot more. In Bhakti Yogam it is not so important. They won't discuss this because Bhakti is on a different state, right? So in Jnanamargam what they will say is that the able to remain in that state where you are not affected by any of these things. None of this, yeah? That's what it is mentioning. There is the Dasha Shlogi, Ajarya Swamiji's famous Dasha Shlogi, Nirvana Shalkam, it's called, Nirvana Dashakam. There's a sixth verse, what it says there is, Na Shuklam, Na Krishnam, Na Rektam, Na Peetam, Na Kubjam, Na Peenam, Na Hrasvam, Na Dirgham. Arubam tada jodi agaragatvat tadego vashishtam shiva kevaloham. It's a famous prayer this is, right? Vedantam, one of the famous studies, right? So Ajarya Swamiji is saying there that the Shuklam is sattugunam, Krishnam is tamogunam, Rektam is rajogunam, right? And none of them is my surupam. Because three modes of nature, they enter into subtle body and to the body and to the intelligence, but it cannot touch the surupam, my real identity, right? And so, when we do sadhana, right? And when the mind is absorbed in the sadhana, this is a big problem. What? These three modes. When you are doing sadhana and the mind is absorbed in the sadhana, because you are not in the realized state, mind will work naturally. So when the mind is engaged in your sadhana, then it is a big problem for the sadhakas who are doing the sadhana, right? So naturally you will see sometimes people saying this. They say, oh, yesterday I could chant very well, today I can't. I'm not able to do it the same way. The happiness I got from chanting yesterday, I'm not getting it today. You will see, daily experience, we know that. Some days it's okay while chanting. Although it happens rarely. But most of the time mind is flying somewhere else, right? But once in a way you will get sometimes some experience, some shanti inside. and you feel the presence of Satugunam at that time, right? And similarly in Salsangam also, you sometimes you will feel some benefit from Salsangam. Something is giving you some impetus to engage in spiritual life. That's all Satugunam it is, right? And but that's not your Swarupam. That's coming from Satugunam, not from the Swarupam, right? And after some time, you feel, again you feel come Jalyada comes. Jalyada means kind of boring. Initially, there was some kind of feeling of benefit from Satsangam, which Satsugunam gave you that. And then after some time, Satsangam becomes boring. After some time, right? And then that's coming from Tamogunam. Tamogunam has taken over, right? But nothing to do with the Antaryami. This is all modes of nature is doing in us at that time. Satugunam does a certain, it gives you some happiness. Tamogunam comes and makes you feel boring or you feel asleep at that time. Right? So, or what happens is either you'll go to sleep or you will start doing something else. You'll start chanting or you will start looking at something else, you know, just to pass the time. So you can notice this, how the three modes of nature is controlling everybody. When Satugunam is there, you will feel interest in the Satsangam. In the, listening to that, it makes you interesting. And you feel some benefit from that. You feel some shanti inside. When Rajogunam comes, it gets a bit boring, so you'll start doing something else. Even though you are physically there, your attraction will go to something else. And then Tamogunam comes, you'll just go to sleep. Straight away, you'll fall asleep, right? Not blaming anybody. It is our age, our body, and the modes of nature. You can't do anything about it. We are all helpless in these things, right? So, what Acharya Swami says here, na shuklam, na krishnam, na rektam, na peedam, na kubjam, na peenam, na hraswam, na dirgham, arubam tada jodhi ragaragatwad, tadoga vashishtam shiva kevalaham. To remember that none of this is ours, is us. None of this is us, neither the modes of nature, nor any of the other things, right? I am pure Chaitanyam. Shiva Kevalaha means I am pure Chaitanyam, pure consciousness, right? So, when Satugunam comes, Dhyanam, meditations, Japam, and Bhakti, or these things, you feel some happiness from that. And that's not you. That's not you. That's coming from the modes of nature, right? So, therefore, Gaudapada Acharya says about this, that if you're feeling a lot of happiness in spiritual life, sometimes, and don't get attached to it. While doing spiritual activities, sometimes when this happens to people, you see, sometimes you feel some happiness from spirituality, spiritual practices, from chanting the holy name, or you go on a Harinam, chanted the holy name, and got into deity worship, got some happiness from that. When you're getting that happiness, we start misunderstanding that I'm making spiritual advancement. Acharya Swami says, no, it's not your Swarupam. You are still under the modes of nature. The modes of nature is doing it. Even the happiness what you get from your sadhana, upasana and all that is also coming from the Satugunam. It's also coming from the Satugunam, right? And therefore, Gaudapada Acharya says, don't get sticking to that. Because that will become what Satugunam said before. Jnana Sankhena Chanaga, Suga Sankhena Bharata, he said that earlier. So, so under any circumstances, not sticking to anything is a way to become free from that, right? And there is chit inside, which is has no Sangam anywhere, and that is our actual Suryupam, that chit inside. And and the Satugunam, Rajogunam, these three gunam is there and that Chit Shakti is present in that, and for a realized person also these three gunams will come. In him also three gunams will come, right? But the difference is he does not get affected by the gunam. He is able to, because he has strong realization inside that that is not his Swarupam, actual identity. We, when the three gunams comes, we get completely run over by that. Is it not? When Tamogunam comes, what Krishna says will happen to us. When Rajogunam comes, we will be very busy in life, active. And when Satogunam comes, we will probably take the beads bag in the hand and chant a few minutes. So these are all gunams are doing it. In Swarupam, none of them happen, none of them work. So able to remain in that Swarupam and to observe these three modes of nature, what it is doing to us, right? And this Satyarajogunam, Satogunam, Rajogunam, Samogunam, he is not a part of that. He is not a part of that. Yeah? And at the appropriate time, they will come and they will go, right? Even when that happens, he is able to remain aloof from that, unaffected by it, right? He knows very well that this is coming from Satogunam, it's coming from Rajogunam, it's coming from Tamogunam, and he himself is pure consciousness, Chitvastu. In that way, he will remain. And he is more concerned about his own identity as Antaryami more than the three modes of nature. More than the three modes of nature, right? Not for the perception or pratiti of these three modes. Do you understand? Three modes of nature, he is observing that, but he knows very well that three modes of nature is not him. It is in the prakriti it is, right? So, these three modes of nature is pratiti, it is called. Pratiti means perception it is. Comes and it goes. Anything that comes and goes is pratiti, is perception, right? Whereas he himself is pure chit, right? Chitvastu. And it does not come and go, always existing within himself, right? And he gives importance to that rather than giving importance to this pratiti, perception of the three modes of nature. Therefore, in this way, gradually what happens is if you keep on practicing it, then gradually you'll become free from the grip of these three modes of nature. You'll come out of it. Once you start observing this, all very subtle things inside, but one has to develop that habit of observing these three modes coming and taking control of us every time and learn this strong concept that Antaryami inside is actually what we are. Nothing to do with the body, nothing to do with the mind, nothing to do with the three modes either in this way. So, and gradually, little by little, you are becoming free from the three modes of nature, right? And say, for example, if you need to sleep, you slept, right? But when the time, appropriate time, you wake up and you have felt that the purpose is served, that you are not feeling tired anymore. So, and then when you got that mood, then you did some sadhana, upasana, which are all activities related to Satogunam. Japam, dhyanam, puja and things like that, right? And just because it has happened, you start thinking that, oh, I felt no Satogunam now, so I'm not going to office today. That's not how it is, right? When you got the time, you did that, dhyanam. If that state stays, then it's fine. But if you have to do the work, you have to do the work, right? But if you are doing the work, even then you will feel happiness inside, unaffected by the work, right? Some people see work as a distraction. But properly advanced souls, they don't think work as a distraction. Yeah? So, then some people, you may have observed yourself these things. Some people don't go home from work in the evening. Everybody else is gone, they still want to work. Why? Because they say, if you go home, there's more problems there. So they'll stay at, I've seen people doing that. They won't go home. They'll stay at work 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock. Only at the last minute, they'll go home. Why? Because if you go home, there is more problems, they are saying. So they don't go home. Right? So it's more stressful. Therefore, rather they enjoy the rajogunam in the office doing that. So trying to escape like that, that's also wrong thing, because whatever work has to be done, and when the rajogunam leaves you, you should leave that. Right? And but because they are frightened about tamogunam and the mind gets very affected by that, and if the mind gets affected, let it get affected. So what can you do about that? And if you feel a lot of sleep, you sleep. What else can you do? Because that's the modes of nature doing that. Able to think like that all the time. That satunam, rajogunam, tamogunam is doing things on its own, right? Or suppose you got involved in the morning in spiritual activities and you felt some happiness from that. Let it be. Let it be so, right? So, so in all situations, while satogunam comes, or while rajogunam comes, and while tamogunam comes, and it, what it does to our gross and subtle body, not getting affected by that, and still able to realize that you have nothing to do with any of these things, you are independent of all that, right? And various kinds of emotions comes, isn't it? Kamam, krotham, lobham, moham. They are all product of rajogunam, right? And able to think that nothing is my actual identity, right? I am pure consciousness. Chidananda Rupam Shivoham Shivoham. That's my real nature, right? And that will not change at all. And that is why in the Viveka Chudamani, you'll find this famous verse. What says about that is Prakriti Vikriti Bhinnam Shuddha Bhavata Swabhavam Sadasadidam Ashesham Brahmayan Nurvishesham Vilasadi Paramatma Jagradadishu Avastha Swamaham Ahamidi Sakshal Sakshi Rubena Buddhe. Very clear words, right? You have to learn this Sakshi Rubam. That means when three modes of nature are coming and affecting us, knowing that it is the modes of nature doing that, this mood changing in us is due to the three modes of nature, and able to accept it, right? Always remains as a sakshi. We are actually nyapti, bodham, pratyabhijna, right? And that is my sarupam. Satugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam will come from prakriti. At different times it will come, whenever it comes, and based on that, I am not going to get affected by that. And those who are affected by that, how the nature changes in them. For example, when sattvagunam comes in a person, if you observe that, you will notice it. They will be very friendly to you. They will be very concerned about you. Family members, you can observe that. Within your own family, if you observe that, you will see this. When satugunam comes in a person, he will be very kind to you. Otherwise, when tamogunam comes in a person, the same person acts totally opposite to you. Husband and wife, if you observe this, you will see. That. So, that's what it is, right? So, satugunam, that is like that. Then, when rajogunam comes, you will see that person is too busy. He has no time. He will run everywhere, all over the world. His diary is busy. He's written down all his programs for the whole day. He has no time for anything. Even if you want to talk to him, that's not a good time to talk. It won't work. Because he is so bogged down by the work, right? Rajogunam comes, that's what his nature will be, right? And tamogunam, when it comes to a person, what he is going to speak, what he is going to do, you don't know. The way they will react to that, right? And when you are living at home with family members, you can see all these moods working at home in different people, in different ways, right? When they are in satugunam, you can go closer to them, talk to them, right? When you are in their rajogunam, if you go and tell them something, it won't go inside because his mind is bogged down by the work and karmam, right? And in tamogunam, if the person is in tamogunam, you don't know how he will react. He or she will react. You won't know that, right? There will be no license on that, right? So those who are people with knowledge, Krishna saying this, that whatever the mood comes, and they will not get affected by the moods. They will be able to remain as a witness to all the three modes. That's a very finer state inside. Able to break away from the moods and to remain attached to the Antaryami and able to do the Vyavaharam in that way. That requires certain practices, right? And Krishna says, such a person is Tattuvitta. A person who can do that is called Tattuvitta. Krishna says that word. Yeah? So such a person is called a Tattuvit, and that Tattvajnani who has reached that state, his symptoms is Krishna is going to talk now. A person who has reached that state, right? So it is a very practical side in life, because this is all happening within the family. So it's easy to observe this and learn it and practicing it, right? And so it is. It's happening usually in our life, right? And you may be thinking that by some technique I can keep my mind peaceful always, right? Or keep it in sattvagunam. That's not possible. By technique, it is not possible, right? All you can do is to go beyond the three modes of nature. That's all what is possible. Sometimes because sattvagunam is good, we may think that I can keep my mind in sattvagunam always. That's not possible. Because rajogunam will come or tamogunam will come. That is controlled by prakriti, you see. Prakriti is controlling that. There you have no control. All what you can do with this knowledge what Krishna has spoken here, transcend the three modes. That's what is possible. But that will take time. It's not going to happen overnight. Yeah? So, and it is not possible in one gunam, either sattvagunam or rajogunam or tamogunam, all the time to stay in that gunam. That's not possible. Right? And suppose you have got sattvagunam, a lot of sattvagunam, still there will be some rajogunam and tamogunam in you. Right? It will come. And so if you somehow or the other try to boost this sattvagunam through kirtanam or through japam or through sadhana processes or bhakti or salsangam in this way or the aharam process, what he has spoken, right? You will feel the benefit of that sattvagunam a lot, right? And that is favorable. But even then, in the middle of that, rajogunam and tamogunam will come sometimes, right? So if you want that, the rajogunam, tamogunam not to attack you and not to disturb you, the only way you can do that is by transcending the modes. Transcending the modes, right? So that means surupa nishtha, always conscious of who you are. That awareness, bodham, inside, andaryami. That's why Krishna glorifies andaryami so much in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, isn't it? You see, he has spoken so much about these three modes, and he has also spoken about the self. Yeah. So if you are established there, then you can survive. Otherwise, if you are in surupa nishtha means established in the self, right? If not, when sattvagunam comes, you will be affected by that. If you are not transcended the three modes, when sattvagunam comes, you will be getting affected by that, right? So, then you know that story I mentioned before, many times, yeah? That the a businessman goes to the forest, three thieves caught him. Remember, it's a very nice story, it is, right? And one thief tied him down. Another person took away everything from him. So, and the third person came and told him, felt sorry for him, and told him, I'm sorry that we had to do this to you, but I will untie you. They have taken away all his wealth and left him there, right? So I will untie you and show you the way how to get out from the forest, go back to your village where you came from, right? So this rich man who was robbed, he invited this man to his village to come because he has helped him to get out from there. He says, I am one of that, the other two. We three are together, right? So the one who robbed you completely, took away everything from you, he is a rajasic person, rajogunam, right? And the one who tied you down and made you helpless, he is tamoguni, tamogunam. And one who untied you is sattvagunam. You can understand from the story how it works now. This three gunam, right? Sattugunam will allow you to go escape. That's all Sattugunam can do for you. It will allow you to escape. Rajogunam will rob everything from you. He is the worst one. All your time he takes away from you. He entangles you in karmam. He creates more vasanas in you. He binds you to the world in many ways, right? And one who has given you all this hell in life is that tamogunam, what who has done that. So even the sattugunam does not have entry into self-realization. Sattugunam also doesn't have the entry into self-realization. That will also go, right? And that is when you transcend all the three gunam, that is gunatita. Krishna calls it as gunatitan. Gunatita, bhakta, jnani, yogi, all these are one and the same thing. He is using different terminologies at different places. That's all it is. But in state of consciousness is concerned, they are all same. Jnani, bhakta, gunatita, yogi, various names he has used at different places, right? So, and that state is called a nirgunam. Nirgunam. Three modes of nature, you become free from that. People think that nirgunam means no qualities. That's not what it means. What it means is the three modes of nature is not present, right? Nirgunam means there is the rasamayam. That means that rasam is nirguna bhakti. You have heard about that, nirguna bhakti. In order to understand that, that's why you study Kabila Maharshi's teachings to Devahuti Devi. He talks about there what nirguna bhakti means. Yeah, if you look at the third canto, chapter, he talks about nirguna bhakti, right? Shri Bhagavan Vaja, Devahuti asked this question to Kamala Maharshi. So Krishna is, Kamala Maharshi is saying to her that Malguna Shudhi Matrena Mai Sarvaguhashaye Manogadi Avichinam Yada Gangamba Sombudo Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nirgunasya Sudahradam Ahaidukya Vavahida Ya Bhakti Purushottame. Those two verses, 11 and 12. Yeah. What is this nirguna bhakti? Nirguna bhakti means you have gone beyond the three modes of nature. Bhakti beyond the three modes of nature, right? Malguna shudhi matrena mai sarva guha guhashaye. What does it mean? As soon as you hear about Krishna, malguna shudhi matrena mai sarva guhashaye, immediately you realize that Krishna is present in everyone's heart. Mai sarva guhashaye. Guha means this cave, hridayam. He is present in everyone's heart. Yeah? Mai sarva guhashe. And therefore, manogadir avichinam va manogadam avichina yatha gangambu sombhudav. Automatically, your attention goes towards the antaryami inside. Just like Ganga river is flowing all the time. Her destination is the ocean. Ganga Sagar. She wants to get into the ocean. That's why she is flowing continuously all the time. In the same way, as soon as you hear about Krishna, immediately your attention goes to antaryami. Straight away goes to Andaryami inside. Malguna shudhi matrena mai sarva guhashaye manogadi avichinam yada gangambu sombhadav. That is nirguna bhakti. That is nirguna bhakti. Three modes of nature is not present in that bhakti. Lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya udahridam ahaidukya vavahida ya bhakti purushottame. So Kavila Maharshi's definition about that. And that is nirguna bhakti. That means as soon as you hear, and it comes from the heart, like Ganga river it comes, right? And that is the knowledge of the self, experiencing Andaryami inside. And there is no namarupam, and there is no sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, nothing is present there, and it's not an experience that comes and goes, right? Avichinnam, it says, like continuous it is, avichinna anubhavam. And so you see, Ganga river begins from Gangotri, Gomukh it's called, from there, and she flows all the way to the ocean, all along, and she is unbroken, continuously flows, right? In the same way, this experience also, avichinnam. Avichinnam means that tripudi rehidam. Tripudi is not there. I am practicing bhakti. This is my sadhana. This is Krishna. That kind of thing has gone. Only knowledge exists. Bhakti exists there, right? So that is why it is nirgunam. It is called tripudi has gone. Tripudi means that you are seeing separately from Krishna. Now, in our relationship with Krishna, we are separate from Krishna. Antaryami is separate. And then the process, bhakti is separate. That is the tripudi. Bhakti is there, I am there, Krishna is there. This is the way beyond than that. A stage, only Krishna exists. I don't exist separately, bhakti doesn't exist separately, only Krishna exists. Tripudi gone then. At that time. So the tripudi, when tripudi leaves, that situation is called nirguna bhakti. Nirguna bhakti. And it is, nirgunam does not mean no qualities there, but purna anubhavam, it is complete experience of Krishna as antaryami. Only Krishna exists then. Nothing else exists here. That realization. And that purna anubhavam, complete realization, is what Krishna is going to talk about it from now on. Yeah? So, in the next verse, Krishna is saying there that these three gunam, Krishna has given us a reasonably good idea about what these three gunams means. After saying that, he in one verse, is going to talk about it, a summary of that, what he has spoken about, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, what it does to us, right? So he says, Sattvam sukhe sanchayati, rajam karmani bharata, jnanam avartyadu tamam, pramade sanchayatyuda. Very precise definition. Say. What does that? Sattvam means sukham. But you get attached to that. That's the problem. You get attached to Sattvam sukhe sanchayati. Rajas nobody has to tell us, isn't it? Karma. Rajasa means karma. Can't stay in 1 minute. Cannot stay 1 minute quietly. Karmam has to continue all the time. Planning. Karmam. Rajam karma, karmani bharada. Then, jnanam avartyadu tamam. Tamoguna means it won't allow you anywhere get come closer to spiritual life. Keep you so far away from everything. Pramade sanjayatyuda. And not only that, it will take you away from spiritual life, won't allow you to come closer to spiritual life. Apart from that, it will get you attached to the wrong things in life. From tamoguna. Yeah. Sattvam suge sanjayadi samshlesha yadi raja karmani he bharata samjayadi idi anivartade jnanam sattugradam vivekam avurthi achyadyudu tamam svena avaranalpanam pramade samjayadi ut pramado nama prapta kartam vyagaranam. So that is the main thing. Sattugunam sukham, rajogunam karmam, tamogunam useless. Completely broken down. System. Completely broken. So, they are very clear, aren't they? The three states, how it is working in us. And all that's happening in us, one after the other. And we got to recognize these things, that all these things does exist. Otherwise, Krishna won't say these things. He mentioned this in the Bhagavad Gita. He mentioned that in the Bhagavatam also. We can see in the Ekadashi Skandam, while talking to Uddhava, Gunatraya Bhagavam comes there as well. The same three modes of nature. There it's a lot more he has spoken than what he has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. There he mentioned that these three states also is a product of these three modes of nature. Three modes of nature is responsible for the three states what we have every day. Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti. So Tugunam creates Jagrat, Rajogunam creates dream state, Tamogunam creates Sushupti, he says here. So you see the spiritual science is a knowledge it is, very much based on Shastram. And Upanishads, and Bhagavad Gita, and Brahma Sutram, everything, right? So, that's what that is saying. Now, when you go into the this chapter, first thing to know is that gunam means, gunam has a different meaning also, right? In Sanskrit language, gunam has another word, rope. Rope is also gunam, right? Means that's something that binds you. And this shravanam is a very big thing in the spiritual life. Shravanam is a big thing, right? You know one thing, Vedam, they don't study Vedam. They shravanam Vedam. Vedam is for shravanam, right? Shrodavya kirtidavyascha, you will see. Shrodavya it is. Why is it like that? All other things we study, isn't it? Books we buy, university and all, we get all our big degrees from there, doctorates and masters and this and that. And we think we have studied all that. That is different. Vedam you can't study like that, right? Similarly, this knowledge of the self is not for mind. And is not to be understood with the mind. Yeah, understanding the mind from spiritual point of view is on a lowest level. Lowest platform. Understanding with the mind. Generally, because people don't take these things seriously, everything they think, oh, I understood that. Oh, I understood what you said. They'll say like that. That means you understood it with the mind, which means you have understood on the lowest level. Right? So, more and more you start understanding things, you get trapped in the mind. That's what happens. Right? So, Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam is in the part of that. It's also included in that, right? School, college, university and all is understanding with the mind. Mind and intelligence, you can say, right? It has come, it's gone in the same way, right? And here it is different. Why Vedam is different? Vedam is different because it is not done with the mind. That's why it is different. You don't do it with the mind, right? Because what happens in Vedam is, if you become that knowledge, and then you don't have to understand it with the mind. You become that. Brahmavid Brahmaiva Bhavadi, Upanishad says. Is it not? So the process of Vedic process is different from the university process. University process you are doing with the mind, understanding things with the mind and intelligence, analyzing it. That means it is considered to be the lowest level. Vedic knowledge, Vedic Vedam, is hearing and becoming that. Becoming that. You see that in the Bhagavatam, several places mentioned, is it not? So, so if you see an object, if you have become that object, then you don't have to understand it with the mind, right? So all knowledge related to that vastu will come to you. It is already there in you then. Suppose you become the Antaryami. Antaryami's qualities are in you then. Yeah? So, and this vastu, what we are looking for, is something we are very fond of. What is that? Our real self, who we are. That's what we are looking for, isn't it? Who we are, right? And in this world, all other things, you can't get it by hearing about it. Is it not? You have to work for it to get it. But this vastu, you can get it simply by hearing only. See the differences between Vedam and the modern education, yeah? Modern education, you have to study with the mind and intelligence, and then you have to work hard to get it. But this vastu, you can't study it with the mind and intelligence. It won't work. You have to hear it, and you will get it straight away. And once you get it, and that's what the difference between this spiritual process and material process. Yeah. So, and this you can get it only by hearing. That is why Shravanam is given so much importance in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam. It didn't tell you that you should take home and study, do all the homework and produce your, what do you call it, for the doctorate. You have to create your thesis and all. All those processes won't work in this. Those kind of system doesn't exist in spiritual life. Spiritual life is Shravanam. as much as your quality of Shravanam improves, you will feel the effect also from that. Yeah. So many people have misunderstanding. In the early days, it is like that. Everybody is thinking that I've read that book, I've read this book, they will say like that. That means nothing, actually, when people say. And nowadays, everybody is writing books also, to add to your misery. Is this Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam not enough? Do I need to write my own books and make confuse everyone, people with other things? So people are writing all kinds of books now. And people think that if they write books, oh yes, a scholar, then they say. This scholar, he has studied books and he has written this book, he has written Ramayanam commentary, Bhagavatam commentary, Mahabharatam and all. And you are recognized in the society as a scholar. You are recognized as a scholar, but apart from that, you are not moved very far. It's all in that mental platform only. It's not going to help very much. Spiritually, it won't help. Spiritually, it is like this. Shravanam and Shravanam should lead into a good impact inside, able to change, right? And so therefore, people have misunderstood. They say you have to perform meditation, pranayama, or different kinds of yoga sadhana. And when you have gone through a system like that, through school education, college education, university education like that, you got conditioned that way. Then when you tell them also, they won't understand it, what you are saying. That's why all these yoga courses are thriving. You know the yoga classes they conduct. And people think that they are all becoming yogis by going to village hall and sitting there for 1 or 2 hours and paid the money. And they come out with the understanding that they have become yogis. Where is yoga? Where is their yoga classes? That's also become a business like that. So it is difficult. And when you tell them also, they are not able to understand it, that it is not the way the yoga process works, right? So all these techniques idea, yoga sadhana, pranayama, ashtanga yoga systems and asanas and all that, they will try that for a long period of time and they are still in the same place where they started. Nothing has changed, right? So the technique what you use in the world is not useful in spiritual life. Simple as that. The technique what we use in material life in this world to study things, to acquire knowledge and all that, that process won't work in spiritual life, right? In the world, to the extent you do the work, how much input you have put into the work, right? Accordingly, you will get the results also, to a large extent, I'm saying, right? That means doing, getting it. Doing it, getting it, right? That is why, you remember what Upanishad said? Pariksha lokan karma chitan, it says. Nirvedamayal agridakradena tadvijnanartham sadgurumeva abhigachil shamit pani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. In other words, Vedam says, karma chidani loke kshiyate. That means world is in the field of karma. World is in the field of karma. And anything what you have acquired through karma will get destroyed one day. Will get destroyed one day. That is why in spiritual life, it is not based on the input what you have put into it. The result is not dependent on your input. On the other hand, the success is dependent on your surrender rather than the input into it. Surrender does not say with the lips alone. You have to understand the surrender process. That's what Bhagavadam is giving to us, Gajendra and Uttaradevi and Draupadi and Ambarish and Gajendra. All of them is saying to us that it is not through your, it's not a effort that they have put in. But the results have come. Why? Because of the surrender, right? So that is the difference between effort in material life and in spiritual life. There are two different ways of doing that. Yeah. So, karmam, what Krishna says, Upanishad says, pariksha lokan karma chitan. Nirvedamayal agritakradena. Then karmam karmachito loke kshiyade. Everything comes from karmam, will not stay. Everything. What karmam produces results, it won't stay. It will go. Right? So, and through karmam you can create a new thing. Right? Similarly, through mental action you can create a state. State you can create. Right? For example, I'll give you an example. Suppose you have gone into a kirtanam at the temple, and nice kirtan going on, singing nicely, everyone is in a swing mood, everyone is feeling in a blissful state, and you sit there, and you will see, you will reach a state at that time. That's a state. What you get is a state, right? Similarly, suppose you are reading Shastram, some parts of the Shastram, when you read the verses, when you recite from them, you get a certain uplift from that state, right? So, that is all state. In Shastram, they call it as avastha. Avastha. Avastha means comes and goes. Avastha trayam. Sattugunam, rajugunam, the jagrat, swapnam, sushupti is avastha trayam. Why is it avastha trayam? Comes and goes. Comes and goes, right? And so these things, what you experience in the kirtanam or what you experience from the shastram, all these things is coming from sattugunam. It will come, stay for some time, and then it will go, right? But atma, which is the truth, is not a state. It's not avastha. That's what you must remember, right? It is always there, right? It is there right now inside us as Antaryami. But if it is not there now, it's not going to happen in the future. It's already there. And it is not something that has to come from outside. And if you start thinking, I'll do sadhana now, some other time it is going to happen to me, that means that I have not understood atma properly. Yeah. Because then, if you are thinking like that, if it is going to come sometime in future, then it will leave us also. That realization, right? So, one day or the other, we will lose it. The way it has come, we will lose it as well, right? So, Atmanubhavam, Vedam says that it is Nitya Siddham. We already have it inside. Only thing is, our attention has not fallen on that. That's the only problem. Our attention has fallen in the world, fallen on the body, strongly, and fallen in the world outside, instead of falling on the Antaryami inside. So, Ajnani, for both for Jnani and Ajnani, Upanishad is saying this, that Sarvanubhuhu, he is available for Jnani, he is available for Ajnani also. That is why very realized souls, they don't see any Ajnanis anywhere. They only see Jnanis everywhere. Only thing is, we have not given attention to that. Recognition is not there, right? So, Atma, Aparoksham Brahmam. Then Atma is Aparoksham. It's already, Aparoksham means that it is for immediate experience, right? We are thinking, I got so much experience in this world, Loganubhavam, right? Means, I have experience of this material existence a lot. And I have experience of this body. That's all I have, right? And I have the experience of the mind as well, right? But I'm not able to experience the Atma in the same way, the soul. Antaryami, I'm not able to say like that. Like the way I'm talking about material existence, samsaram, or I'm talking about the body, or I'm talking about the mind, in the same way, I'm not able to talk about the Atma, that I have the experience of that, right? So, therefore, for that, there is a special way of approaching that. Because I'm thinking that I have to get it later, from somewhere it has to come. It is in that realization I am doing my sadhana, thinking that one day Krishna is going to give it to me, one day, and it's going to come out. So, all these things, no matter how clearly you explain all these things, Rajogunam and Tamogunam won't allow you to accept it. It will prevent you from insight. Even though it's all spoken there, and it's all explained by many, many acharyas and great devotees, very precisely, spoken, in spite of that you read them and still your mind won't change, your thinking won't change, you will still think, right? So, Rajogunam and Tamogunam will not allow you to get it, right? And that is its mystery. That's the mystery of spiritual life, right? And that is the power of Maya. This three gunam, where did it come from? Maya. So, that is how Maya is holding us. Yeah. We think we are clever, we are very intelligent and all that, but don't fight with Maya, it won't work. You won't be able to fight with her. Right? Trigunatmika, she is called. Trigunatmika, right? What it will do is that when you are hearing all these things from inside, she will make you to interpret everything in a different way. So you are hearing something and you will keep on interpreting it in your own way, within yourself, right? And who does that? Maya. In how? Through Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Through Rajogunam and Tamogunam, they will interpret it in a different way. It will say like this. Tamogunam will say, oh, this is all too much. It's not practical. Tamogunam will put that into it. Rajogunam will ask from inside, how much work I have to do get this self-realization done? These are the two questions will come. Tamogunam will tell you, oh, it's too much. I don't want to waste my time doing this. It will create these thoughts from inside and it will pull you out from hearing further. It will take your interest away from the Shastram. It will take you more and more towards the negative side. Negativity will create Tamogunam. And Rajogunam will say like this, what do I have to do for this? That's coming from Rajogunam. The moment a person asks that question, what do I have to do for this? Rajogunam. There's nothing to be done. What we have to understand the gunam properly first. Gunam is working and we have to do what is to be to separate yourself from the gunam. That's what is essential, right? So, therefore whatever we are discussing, it won't go inside in the proper way, right? Even if it goes inside, right, if it has properly gone in, Krishna is saying that this gunadhita state, gunadhitam it's called, that means you have transcended the three modes, you will get established in the self on the spot. On the spot, it will get. So if it is not happening, the only reason for that is the tamogunam and rajogunam inside us. It's not allowing that to happen, right? So, in order not able that to happen, in order that not to happen, the safety mechanism is this Maya put these three gunams inside us. It is her safety mechanism so that you don't realize the truth when you hear it. That's her safety system inside us. She has put these three gunams inside so that you won't get it. In such a way she holds it, right? So, what is the difference between self-realization and the sattva-gunam, right? So, the difference is like this. In satsangam, you will get some clarity sometimes. A clarity comes from satsangam, right? And while you are hearing it, you are fully focused, you are listening to that, right? And sometimes you experience that coming from satsangam, right? And then you start, suddenly you misunderstand. Oh, I got it now. That's when you say, oh, I understood everything what you said. that's the trick of the sattva-gunam. Sattva-gunam is playing that, right? And that is a sattva-gunam. And what happens is, if you have really got it, the moment you come out of the door, it's gone. Why did it go? That shows that sattva-gunam played the trick on you at that time. So you think that you got it, but actually it was a magic of the sattva-gunam. Sattva-gunam did that to you, right? So if that knowledge what you got or realization what you got, you felt that you got it, if it is remaining perpetually, without break, continuously, right? If it stays like that, it is knowledge. That is jnanam. That is jnanam, right? So, and when this anubhavam, experience happening, if you are feeling that I got it and I am experiencing that, that pride that comes like that is sattva-gunam. It comes from sattva-gunam. Again, it will come and go. You will, sometimes you will see in people, oh, I was very enjoying spiritual life in my younger days, in early life, but now look at my situation, everything has gone. And now I have started again from the beginner, I'm beginning whole thing. Again discussing the rules and regulations, regulative principles and things like that. You will see in the older devotees also, same thing. Because they did not understand the way Krishna has spoken things. Yeah. So what happened to them was, they got some enlightenment in the beginning. by following the regulative principle, some satugunam has come and that satugunam has cheated them now. And the old age, they are not feeling that because a lot of tamogunam has come inside. And they are remembering those days when satugunam was giving some benefit to them. They are remembering about that now, right? So, so the thing is, Atma, self, knowledge, is not to come from outside. It is already there, right? And it's everyone has got. Our Swarupam is that, actually. But that is all what actually we have got. Yeah, body, we haven't got it. We are mistakenly thinking that I have got this body, right? If I have got it, I should be able to hold it, isn't it? If I have got it. But the fact that it's not listening to me, one day it's going on its own way, what does that show? That means I haven't got it. Mistake, out of foolishness, I'm thinking that I got this body. Yeah? So body, I haven't got it. In the same way, body has happened in the Prakriti. That's all what body is. Body has just happened in the Prakriti. It just happened. That's all. Right? So, deham, it has happened in the Prakriti. Right? We haven't got it. So that's another avidya inside us. We are all thinking that I got my body. And that is why in Vedantam they keep telling you this repeatedly. I'm not this body. Body is not mine. Why is it said like that? To become free from that grip of that avidya. That avidya, that I got this body. To become out of that, I have to keep saying to myself, I haven't got this body. And similarly, you can see it with your own body. Sometimes I've eaten some food. It's not getting digested. Right? And my body does not have the capacity to digest that food, right? And even that power, I don't have control over this body. Even if I want to digest the body, digest the food, but I'm not able to digest it. And I have no control over it. And so many things can go wrong inside, and I don't have any control over that, right? So even that power, I don't have, right? Similarly, I want to go to sleep at a particular time. I'm not able to. I want to wake up at a certain time, I'm not able to. Who makes the decision? So do you think that body is under your control? How much control have you got over the body? You can't even sleep at the time you want. You can't get up at the time you want. And that's all controlled by another force. Is it not? So, and body is working in its own way. So what you do? When the sleep comes, you sleep. That's all you can do. Is it not? Sometimes, I mean, people like it, that everything works like a clock. Clock-like precision, as they go to bed at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's all fine. But how much control have we got on that? When you get old age, you don't get sleep. Or you get sleep at unusual hours, odd hours, you get it. Right? So, so the thing is, body, I haven't got it. Right? Now, look at the mind. Have I got the mind? Mind also I don't have, because the thoughts that's coming inside, I have no control over it. It keeps coming one after the other, right? And all the things, if you look at it, buddhi, mind, senses, everything, I haven't got anything. All I have is the real self only, Antaryami. That's what I have actually. All other things I don't have, right? This experience that, what I have, my existence, Satya Chitta Anandam, that experience of me, that is my real possession. I haven't got anything else. The existence is only what we have got, right? So that is the only thing where we have to pay our attention, not on the body, on the mind, on the senses, on the intelligence, right? So Anubhava means consciousness. Anubhava means consciousness. This experience, aham, inside awareness, bodham. And that is available. And when we study from Guru, Shastram and all that, if our attention falls on that, then then that is good Shravanam. If your attention has fallen on that, then your Shravanam is first class. Till your attention has not fallen on that, all your Shravanam is under the three modes. Is under the three modes. This is why, when they begin Bhagavatam, what did they say? Dharma prochida kaidavotra paramo nirmal saranam satam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതി മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിംവാപരൈ ഈശ്വര സദ്യോഹൃദ് അവരുദ്ധിതേത്ര കൃതിപി ആൻഡ് ദ ലാസ്റ്റ് വേർഡ് ഈസ് മോർ ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ് ശുശ്രൂഷുബി തൽക്ഷണാൽ ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ടു ഹാപ്പൻ ഓൺ ദ സ്പോട്ട് സോ ഭാഗവതം ഈസ് സ്പീക്കിംഗ് ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് ലെവൽ ദാറ്റ് വെൻ ശ്രവണം ഹാപ്പൻ സെൽഫ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ മസ്റ്റ് ഹാപ്പൻ തൽക്ഷണാൽ ഹി സേസ് തൽക്ഷണാൽ മീൻസ് ഓൺ ദ സ്പോട്ട് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ടു ഹാപ്പൻ ഓൺലി ദെൻ ദാറ്റ് ശ്രവണം ഈസ് ദ പ്രോപ്പർ ശ്രവണം All other Shravanam is under three modes of nature. Coming, going, coming, going. Like the modes of nature, all other Shravanam comes and goes. We can ask questions, you can get a lot of clarifications, everything. But process you can't change. It's not. Process you can't do anything with it. That is the process. That is why in that second verse itself, Shukha Brahma, the Vedavyasa Maharshi said that, ശുശ്രൂഷുബി തൽക്ഷണാൽ ഈ സൈ തൽക്ഷണം ഇറ്റ് ഷുഡ് ഹാപ്പൻ ഓൺ ദ സ്പോട്ട് ഇറ്റ് ഷുഡ് ഹാപ്പൻ റൈറ്റ് ത്രിസർഗ ഇഫ് യു അനലൈസ് ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് കെയർഫുള്ളി ഭാഗവതം വേഴ്സസ് ആർ വെരി 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 ഡീപ് ഇറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് ജസ്റ്റ് ഗിവിംഗ് എ ട്രാൻസ്ലേഷൻ പർപ്പോർട്ട് ഈസ് നോട്ട് ഗുഡ് ഇനഫ് ടു ഗെറ്റ് ദ ഡെപ്ത് ഓഫ് ഇറ്റ് റൈറ്റ് സോ അഹം ദാറ്റ് സ്വരൂപം സ്ഥിതി അഹം ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹാപ്പൻസ് ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ കംസ് ദെൻ ഈ സൈസ് ദർ ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ത്രിസർഗം വാട്ട് ആർ ദേ സത്വഗുണം രജോഗുണം തമോഗുണം ദേ ആർ ദ ത്രിസർഗം ത്രിസർഗം ദേ ആർ മൃഷ മൃഷ മീൻസ് ഫോൾസ് ദേ ആർ ഫോൾസ് ദേ ആർ നോട്ട് റിയൽ റൈറ്റ് സോ ഓൾ ദ ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ ഹാസ് ലെഫ്റ്റ് യു ആൻഡ് ദെൻ വാട്ട് വിൽ ഹാപ്പൻ സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ദാറ്റ്സ് ദ സ്റ്റേജ് വെൻ സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ഹാപ്പൻസ് ത്രിസർഗം വിൽ ബിക്കം മൃഷ ഓൾ ലൈ ഫോൾസ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് റൈറ്റ് സോ വെൻ യു ആഡ് അപ് ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ടുഗദർ ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ് ഇസ് ഹിയർ ആൻഡ് ഭാഗവതം ടുഗദർ Right? So, you will understand the first verse in the Bhagavatam. The first verse, Janmadhyasayataha. Very amazing verse that is. The first verse in the Bhagavatam. If you look at the other commentaries like Vamshidhara, Chilsukha and all that, they have written and written and written pages after pages on that verse. But which shows that how deeper they have analyzed that verse within themselves, right? Yatra Trisargo Mrsha. When you come underneath this Trisargam, which is Satvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, means that you are trapped in the mind. You have fallen into the mind. Then what happens is interpretation starts. Mind means interpretation begins. Rajogunam will interpret in one way, Tamogunam will interpret. Rajogunam will say, what do I have to do for that? That's the first thing. A lot of people ask this question. They hear Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and then they ask, what do I have to do now for that? That means Rajogunam has taken over. Or they'll say, it's all too much for me, I don't want to, you know, I can't do it. He says it's too much. That's Tamogunam is speaking. Tamogunam is interpreting through the mind. Or Rajogunam is interpreting through the mind, right? That means that you have trapped in the interpretation, right? Then, according to their dictation, the moods will come in you and that's why different types of moods you get. Pleasant mood, depressed mood, agitated mood, workaholic mood, similarly holiday mood. All these different kinds of moods we get purely because of these two things. Rajogunam and Tamogunam. So our bhavamandalam, that field of our bhavam within what is happening in us, is all coming from the three modes of nature. Right? So the way to get out of these modes or transcend the modes is through Shravanam. And that is why it is spoken so much about it in these verses, right? There is nothing much to learn a lot. Learning is also the mind only. But, and not put a lot of effort, hard work, right? And use your intelligence and all that. That is not the process here, right? What Krishna does is that again and again, in a way, Krishna is explaining to us the three states, the three modes, and through that, he is trying to make us understand that when you get it through Shravanam, if you get it, you got it. It won't leave you. And for that reason only, you can see Krishna uses the example of these three states there. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. In the Bhagavatam, when you talk about Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam, he talks about these three states as well, right? And what is happening there? There is no body, there is no mind, there is no intelligence, there is no senses, nothing there. And even if in a particular day you are under a lot of stress and tension, but as soon as you go into that state of sushupti, nothing is there. And then you wake up, you are saying, I had a good sleep. If you have gone into that state, right? So that sukham, happiness, what you felt in that deep sleep state is nirvishesham. And there is no reason behind that. It happened that way. So in the jagrat state, if you hear something or you see something or if you taste something, you smell something, or if you taste something, you will get some happiness from that. That's sukham, right? In sushupti, you don't have any of these five things, some five senses what you are getting. None of them rare. And still when you wake up, you're saying, I had a happy time. I was that shanti what you got from the sushupti. So three modes of nature and these three states are linked to each other. So when you study three modes of nature, you study the three states as well. Their relationship between the two. So what I'm saying is that this sushupti state and this happiness what we have got it in the sushupti, right? Which we are reporting in the morning when you wake up from that. This is not only for Shankaracharya or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Sri Shuka Brahmarshi or Ramana Maharshi or Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. It's not for them. It is for everybody. That experience, is it not? Everybody gets it. Whether you don't have to be Shankaracharya or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for that. You all get it. Everybody gets it, right? And there's nobody. So, because if that experience is not there, we won't be able to live in this world. Because that sushupti comes to some extent in us, that is why we are able to carry on for the next day as well. Otherwise, we won't be able to even survive in this world. That's how the situation is, right? So, Vedam says that. That's why these three states have been created deliberately in this way. We'll discuss it tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Dinadayana Prabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.